This episode of Rob's a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Bet Online. With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think that there's nothing to bet on. Well, you would be wrong. Our exclusive partner, Bet Online, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on, from their online casino to poker and blackjack, as they are bringing the Vegas to you. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on stock prices, the weather, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. And NASCAR is back, all open 24 hours a day and all online. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive your new welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online wagering solution. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner podcast. Guess one, Bet Online, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code podcast1 for your sign up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your sign up bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here, and I am so excited for today's podcast because we are going to be catching up with the winner of Survivor Philippines, Denise Stapley, to talk about her journey all the way through, everything that she endured, and now we'll let go here with us today on our latest deep dive here with Denise Stapley coming up in just a moment. Excited for that one. Should be a good one. Of course, if you want to check out the video for this episode of the podcast, I've been recording these on Zoom and uploading them as well after the fact. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube for that. Check out our other season 40 deep dives. Kim, Sophie, Michelle, Ethan, Adam. Talked to Wendell on the Purple Pants podcast. We're going to keep on working on trying to track these season 40 players down and continue to bring you these interviews here on Rob's Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to robhaswebsite.com/iTunes for that as well. If you missed it last week, I also spoke with Tom Westman on a very special edition of Talking with T-Bird. You can catch that at robhaswebsite.com. We also did something special that we posted an interview from 2019 with the great Sean Rector from Survivor Marquesas, that he was somebody that we talked to last summer on Talking with T-Bird. It was a great discussion with Sean Rector. That we talked about a lot of different issues, a lot of things from Sean's time on Survivor, a lot of issues involving race, and I thought it was a great conversation with one of the great African-American Survivor players. So I thought that was a good conversation to repost at this time. You can catch that as well in our Survivor podcast feed. All right, everybody, I'm very excited for this interview here today, and Denise is laughing because this is the second time that I had to record this intro because I forgot to hit record the first time. But I get nervous because I'm here back with the only person that I was ever able to predict that they were going to be the winner of the show, and I always appreciate that. She's the Queen Slayer. She's America's therapist. She's here. Denise Stapley. Denise, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, Rob. How are you?
I'm very excited, Denise. I was really glad that you were up for this, that you're so soothing to talk to, that these are tense times for everybody right now. So I was really looking forward to having the chance to talk to you today.
Good. Well, I'm thankful. And you know, I would do anything for you. I love rap. So yeah. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate that, Denise. That means a lot to me, and really glad that you were up for talking about your experience. Before we talk Survivor, how's everything going in your world right now?
Good. Learning all the technology, like, you know, we were kind of joking earlier, it's been kind of a challenge. I'm in private practice, and so it's just trying to learn how to, you know, do sessions via Zoom and Google Hangouts and FaceTime and Facebook Messenger. And so it's been definitely interesting. But I'm just thankful I can come to my office. My husband is at home in our basement working from home from now until December. And so it's like, oh God, I got to get out of the house. This is where I can come here.
How has your daughter adapted to all of the social distancing?
Yeah, it's been good. It's actually been really good in some ways, like the social distancing. You know, as a teenager, you know, I mean, you have kids. It's like they want to play with their friends. They want to hang out. And she was dating. Yeah. She'd had been dating at the time. And so all the tribe mates have heard plenty of stories about her relationship with her boyfriend at the time. And unfortunately, COVID kind of took its toll on their relationship. So she kind of struggled with that.
It's okay, right?
He's okay, and he's a great kid, and she's okay.
Okay. When you say with the took its toll, I just want
No. Nobody's got COVID. Nobody's got COVID. Nobody's got COVID.
Want to clear that up. Yeah.
Right. Just their relationship.
Yeah, the relationship didn't make it.
So we had our first major. So right on top of everybody dealing with COVID and isolation, we dealt with the first serious heartbreak of her, like genuine, like, oh God, this is painful. But now she seems to be doing good. She's working out, hanging with friends, hanging with maybe a new dude. I don't know.
Okay. So what grade is she?
She's going to be a junior.
Junior. Okay. So Denise, let's talk about Survivor 40. And I would love to know from you, was there any reservation about when they called you to go back and go and, you know, upheave everything and then jump back into this Survivor craziness?
There should have been. should have been. But we're all kind of stupid, you know, so we all just go like, you want us back? Sure. Like I got the call and, you know, when it was even a possibility, it was okay. I don't ask questions. I'll figure it out when I get there. And that's exactly what I did I don't know. Like they would ask me like, what do you think? What do you think's going to happen? I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. And so no, there was zero hesitation. The timing for us was actually perfect. You know, my daughter was old enough. She was driving, so I didn't have to worry about her getting to and from things. And my husband has since the first time said, don't say no until you have a chance that you have to say no. So I was ready to go back.
What did you do to get ready to go play Survivor again?
Nothing.
Nothing.
These are things like in hindsight. So from a physical perspective, nothing. Because I've just, this is who I am. Like I like to work out. I like to stay pretty healthy. So from a, no. Like, no, like that's like, I'm so not an athlete, but I do athletic things by myself, like run and swim, but I have no coordination, no basketball, no anything like that. Mm-hmm. But so I didn't change anything like that. I think the one thing that I did to prepare was trying to go back and, you know, look up certain things about Survivor, just because it's been so many years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I think it's just kind of some of that prep work. But clearly I needed to do more. I don't know. I didn't really. Stuff.
When you say you went back, like what's something you would go back and look at?
Like, you know, I just remember being out in LA, like even just having to go back out there for casting, you know, what did I do? I sat there and I found old episodes of Survivor with people that I thought might be on. If this were an all winter season, you know, might be out there, you know, trying to just prepare and think, you know, how would I play differently? You know, if I could go out there, you know, if I get the chance to go out there, how would I want to play differently? Or, you know, I think just playing different scenarios. But the reality is that's the stuff that I really suck at, you know, is like that strategy part. I'm more kind of it's like being here in I'm in my office right now. This is my environment. You know, I'm used to literally people walking in that I don't know, and having time to kind of sit down and get to know them and connect. And so I was trying to kind of think, okay, you're going to have to do something different than that. Like going back and watching, you know, some past seasons, you know, just thinking through scenarios. And I really didn't have much time to prepare. I didn't get the call until March.
March.
So, I mean, this one probably one of the later ones to get the call.
Yeah.
Whether or not, I don't know what that means or doesn't mean. But so it was literally March. And it wasn't official for me. I think I was actually on my way to see Malcolm.
Yeah.
And in Canada. And I think I got the call on the way in the airport, in the Denver airport. I think I got the call.
Did you talk it through with Malk?
I didn't. I knew part of it is because I think we both know, like I knew he wouldn't want to know. Like we're both people who don't want to know spoilers. Mm-hmm. I think we talked, if anything, just about, hey, I think this is going to happen. I got the call. So bummed we don't get to play again. But then it was like, that's it. It's like, we're going to figure it out. And it's like, just kind of play our own games. And so, no. So we didn't talk through, no, like grand advice. Mm-hmm. I should have picked his brain. I don't know.
Well,
I'll regret.
You guys have such a cool friendship, and he was so vocal during the season about what it meant to be friends with you and to root for you. The whole thing is just very sweet that you guys have this great relationship. And you know, we saw how Tony and Sarah were able to do so well with that, having that bond in a season that's really very few and far between the relationships that could be on that same level that you and Malcolm had back in Survivor Philippines.
He's awesome. I mean, I'm so thankful. Like, he is, you know, when I think about our friendship, Rob, like it's, he's like that friend that you can go, like, I haven't talked to him now since, oh my gosh, I can't think, like, we've texted and a few things, and we've kind of missed trying to connect on FaceTime, but I could go a year and then it's like, you're right back to that same spot. And he's just one of those that it will always be, if he showed up at our front door, I'd be like, come on in, which bedroom do you want? You know, I mean, he's amazing. He's great. And he was so, like you said, so vocal. Like, it was like, okay, like, don't let him down. Don't let him down. Like, he was hilarious through it. So yeah, he's awesome. So that's one of those thankful things from the game.
We saw in the game that Adam came to you very early on and said, hey, I want to be your Malcolm this time around. Was that something that was important for you, where you're like, okay, I got to figure out, like, who's going to be the Malcolm for me this time around? Or is that something that's like more of something fans think about?
I think that's something I go both ways. Like, I think going into it, I know who I am, and knowing, I think when I went out for this season, I wanted to find someone that could be kind of that ride or die, like Malcolm. Like, hey, that's just who I am. I do well in small groups. Like, I'm a small group gal. I've had friends that I've had since fourth grade. You know, I mean, that's just kind of how I work. But I also, I think, went into the season thinking that I could and would, like, need to stay much more fluid and have to be open to, you know, trying to align with different people. And, you know, I knew that there would be more moving parts. But definitely when Adam proposed that, you know, initially it's like, say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that would be, like, I'm certainly not going to say no. But then you also don't want to get too locked in at the start, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of both, like, yes and no.
Can you talk a little bit about the speed of the game? Because you played in season 25, and here we are in season 40. So it's not like you played in season 5 or even 15. So it hasn't been that long. But did you feel like there was a noticeable difference in how fast things went from the Philippines to season 40? Yes.
100%. Like, here's my preparation for talking with you.
Yes.
Like, oh, a clipboard with the tribes and the tribes that changed, and that's what's different. Like, I've watched, you know, again, from the start and even up to season 25, you know, I could watch the show and you could follow it pretty good. And, you know, yes, there are idols and maybe the occasional advantage, but in later seasons, like, the moving parts has amplified so much that I would literally, you know, watch, you know, and have notes as we would watch, like, wait a minute, what advantage is this? Who's got this? Or wait, who's with who? And so being out there for season 40, I knew that that was going to be such a faster pace, but I don't think I knew what that experience would feel like being in that with the pace. Like, it was like moving parts all the time.
Can you also just expand a little bit on this? Because I've been talking about this all throughout, like, the last couple of weeks of the season and in the off season about how I feel like that the game is less focused on the social games or the relationships, which I feel like is really your strong suit. And I feel like that the game has evolved away from being a game that's really about the relationships and more of a game. Yes, you need the relationships to be able to function, but it's ultimately more about the moves than the relationships. Do you agree with that? Or is that just a little bit of an oversimplification?
No, I think that's a great way to put it. I think those relationships have become secondary, very much so. And you could see, you know, this season, even just seasons prior, you can see that playing out. And even in what I think the jury would respect, you know, in a winner, it's like, you can't just get to the end on those social, you know, on that social game. And that really is, you know, that's where I feel the most comfortable and had to work with. But yeah, from the game standpoint and the strategy and moves, like, you have to have this, it's funny, you have to have a resume, but you don't want to build the resume too soon, but you better have one. Mm-hmm. And that resume can't just be those social, you know, those social relationships. So I think that's a great way to put it.
Okay. I want to hear about your experience on this Cele tribe, because this was really more of the train wreck tribe, which is what you're used to, in fairness.
Really?
Yeah.
We weren't a train wreck. We were amazing.
Yeah. Compared to Tikal, which for the most part, you know, had their act together, you guys had a lot more fractures. So can you just talk about what it was like to be a part of this group?
Yeah. You know, I think you see, like, there's fractures right from the start, or the train wreck starts, like, right from like that first challenge. Like, we lose the challenge, you know, it's starting on a tribe that's already starting down, you know, one. So I was having flashbacks to Matt Singh, because one, you know, we start off, we lose the first challenge. I'm wearing a stinking, you know, blue buff again.
Yeah.
And here we are. And it's like trying to get your footing, and you're already off on the, you know, it's already a hot mess. But I think you could see it even just like, you can look at everything from, even our shelter building, like Matt saying, like, we had this horrible shelter. We never even got a shelter built at Cele. Like, did you see what we had? Like, it was like this platform that I could barely jump up on, well, because it was so tall.
Denise, I thought that Boston Rob was that, I thought him and Sandra, without anybody else, in 8 days, built a two-story shelter. What was going on there?
Yeah, I'm calling a little bit of BS on that one. Just a little bit, or maybe they had a few more tools, or, you know,
they didn't have to do as much scheming and plotting. Maybe that was it.
Yeah. Like, we worked, and then it's so funny. Like, we'll work on something, and then people just like stop doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I guess we're not going to have a shelter. And so then we literally, you know, slept in the dirt, like my dog, like we slept in the dirt for the rest of the time. But you could see, like, so things like that just, you know, it didn't ever really solidify. Like, right from the start, you had kind of, you could see kind of pockets of people. You know, Adam and I got ourselves in hot water right from the start. You could see, you know, Jeremy and Natalie and Michelle kind of pairing up, you know, kind of this trio.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to stay somewhere in the mix, you know, and do as much work as I can to try and find some value in there. But it just was not... it didn't ever really come together. Like, we would have fun sitting around. We would play games and, you know, the umbrella. Like, I think I heard Adam talk about, like, the umbrella game.
Yes. Who has the stick? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, who has the stick and all of the, you know, I mean, so we had fun. And, you know, like, Ethan is an amazing storyteller. Yeah. Like, he is the most hilarious guy, like, just amazing storyteller. So we had fun. But as a tribe, to win or to really have know where you stood in it, it was just a hot mess.
Were there people that you were really excited to be on the tribe with when you first got there?
Yeah, like, I was really looking for, like, Ben. Ben was somebody actually that I was like, oh, all right, like, I'm really excited to see you because I liked watching him play. Michelle, it was almost the reverse though. Like, Michelle, I was afraid she's not going to like me because I think I was pretty vocal about Michelle's win because I was an Aubrey fan.
Yeah.
Time. And so it's like that, okay, how much has she read about what I've ever written about her, and will she like me? And it's like going back to middle school.
Yeah.
And with all of these people, you're like with all the cool kids, and you're like, I just want to know if they'll play kickball with me.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to tell me to go sit on the bench? And so there were several of them, you know, I'd seen Jeremy play and wanted to play with Jeremy. I'd love watching Natalie play. You know, actually, you know, like all of them. I mean, that was the hard part, was I liked all of them, which is a hard way to go into a season when it's like, who do I pick? Who do I really want to lean to?
What about Rob and Parvati? Did you feel like that they were amenable to working with you in the beginning?
No.
Yeah. Why not? Why didn't they see a spot for you in what they were doing?
I think, you know, I think it's easy. They played, you know, there were so many players that, and I don't know if it was maybe about half and half in that first tribe of players that had only played one time. So there's, you know, like myself that had only played one time, and Danny and Adam, Ben, and I think Natalie and Michelle. So I guess over half.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'd had other relationships, you know, they played multiple times. So Parvati and Rob had played multiple times, played together. Rob and Ethan had played together. And so it's so much like the school dynamic that it really did feel like it's this popular, like, these are like the popular kids, and I'm like this little old lady, you know. And I was the old, and the reality was I was the oldest one, not the oldest woman. I was the oldest one of the bunch out there. Mm-hmm. But it's not that I thought they didn't want to play with me, but they weren't necessarily offering up like, hey, come on in. I had one brief conversation with Rob at one point that was never shown. And I had a conversation with Parvati, and I was willing to work with, I was kind of playing both sides of that. You know, I'm happy to work with Parvati, happy to work with Rob, but long-term, even I think for myself, I'm like, this isn't who I really want to play with.
Was that surprising to you? Because they didn't have the numbers, right?
I think Rob is so confident. You know what I mean? Like, I think Rob comes across so confident that I think at times they did have the numbers, and at other times, because I think he thought he had me at times, he had Adam, mm-hmm. you know, so because Adam and I were kind of playing both sides of the, and it was the first time for me, which felt strange. Like, I'm like, I don't know what to say to anybody because I feel like I'm two time in, you know, I'm cheating. Like, I'm trying to be in with mm-hmm. this group, but then I don't want this group to know that I'm in with them. But so they did, they had, you know, Rob and Parvati had Ethan, they had Adam, potentially myself, Danny was in there at times. So there were times when those numbers were either even or split or could have been, mm-hmm. I think. So I think it changed all the time.
So in the early going, you and Adam go and you have that conversation, and you were, you know, going to go look for the water well and happening to talk about things along the way. And then at what point did you realize, oh, wait, you know, I think we're actually in trouble?
The minute we got back.
Yeah.
Because we got back and nobody believes it. Were we strategizing? Yes. Were we having those conversations? Yes. Did we get lost? Yes. The dumbasses that got lost in a, you know, I don't know how many square foot area that we got lost. We could not, we're like, where's this stupid well? And yeah, so I won't ever do Amazing Race or anything because I can't, I'm directionally challenged. So we knew though immediately when we got back, I think somebody had talked to him and he's like, we were gone way too long. And I'm like, at first, like, what? And it's like, oh geez, we were the only ones that had left. They were all back there. And it was truly like survivor mistake 101, like this survivor 101, do not leave the group.
Denise, as somebody who's never been to Fiji, how long does a trip to the well take? Like what would be an abnormal trip to the well?
Well, it depends. If, you know, you could have somebody, and again, we don't have watches, but again, like the well is only like to literally walk to the well, it'd take you 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
To walk and find it. Now, if you go and you walk and it takes some time, you know, or you're literally filling up water jugs or you're there with somebody, you know, maybe 15 minutes. I don't know, 15 minutes. It kind of all depends, but the well is not like 2 miles away.
Yeah.
You know, not over the river and through the woods. It's literally down the path, take a left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, once you know where it is, you know where it is.
Right.
Yeah. And then how long were you guys gone for?
I don't know. I honestly don't
minutes?
Know. Probably at least.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You know what? That's horrible. I don't know how long we were gone, but we were gone long enough to stop, have a conversation, pick up some bamboo, continue to get lost, and finally get back there. And you know, long enough, you figure long enough when other people noticed is too long. Mm-hmm. You know, when they were having their other conversations, when they're finally at a point where they're all back together and looking around going, who's missing? Mm-hmm. Even if it was 10 minutes, it still would have been too long.
Yeah. Look, I'm sure it's exciting that you've waited so long to get to that point to go play Survivor. It's like, oh, okay, somebody wants to talk. All right, yeah, let's do this. Let's talk shop.
Right.
Let's do this. We're playing Survivor. Look at us.
Dummies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that is, and that's so true. Because again, I thought, okay, be fluid, like be open, you know, engage a little bit more. And so when Adam was like, hey, we'll go look for the water, I'm like, okay, I'll go with you, you know, sure. Mm-hmm. And it's that there's this part of you, you're looking for anyone to be willing and open and want to play with you. You know, it's like the pick me, pick me, pick me. I mean, how sad is that? But it is. There's a lot of that in the game. And it's like, I think that excitement takes over and some of that common sense just goes out of, at least for me, it clearly was not in the forefront of my brain.
So your name is on the block. Adam's name is on the block. Ultimately, it's going to get changed around to be on Natalie. Now, were you part of the conversations that when I talked to Adam, he talked about some of the things that he was doing to try to get back in with Boston Rob to try to get things changed? Were you actively trying to change things up during these first couple of days?
I think Adam was probably much more active in that. Again, much more of an active player. I think my focus was, okay, just try to keep working, try to make them, again, stop looking at you as a problem. I tried to keep my distance. You know, I think one of the active things we did was Adam and I started like, you go over there, I'm going over here. Don't talk to me. Don't look like we're buddied up. So we kind of disconnected, you know, from a visual standpoint. And I think in just those conversations, whenever those conversations would come up, though, there was definitely this shifting that if anything, I would join in on those conversations, you know, saying, hey, look at the threesome. There's a threesome over there. There's Michelle and Natalie and Jeremy seem pretty buddy-buddy already. And so luckily, even though I'd made a worse mistake, you know, with Adam going off, at least there was this other way to kind of help fuel that. But most definitely, I think Adam took the lead in that conversation.
Were you feeling confident going into that first tribal council that it wasn't going to be you or Adam, or no?
No, I've never been confident throughout this. The only time I've ever been confident that, or, you know, confident about being safe in the game is when I've had immunity around my neck, not even immunity
in
my pocket.
To many tribal councils, Denise.
Yeah. And you don't know. And so to think that you're safe, I think that's the problem. But I think I went in hopeful. I always go into tribal council hopeful, like, I hope it's not me. I hope this works. I hope we have a plan. And so I hoped that we had a plan going in. And you're always trying to kind of pay attention and listen to what's being said. And okay, like there's some of that conversation going over a little bit more to Natalie. So please don't let it be me. You know, and Jeff offers those opportunities to kind of open up. So what happened? And I'm like, I'll just throw myself under the bus and try and, because you want to have that narrative shift away from you. So I'm like, okay, I'm not a threat. I'm here. I know I screwed up. Kind of that, give me another chance. And, but I wasn't totally sure, but I was definitely hopeful.
I would think that tribal council for you must be so interesting because in your line of work that you are, you know, talking things through with people. And I think that Jeff has even said himself that, hey, tribal council, it's like therapy and I'm the therapist and I'm talking things through. And so are you really, you know, keyed in on the kinds of things that people are saying to answering Jeff's questions, maybe more than most might be?
I don't, you know, I would love to say yes. Like, again, I would love to say, because I'm an amazing therapist, I'm always cute and I'm always, but something happens out there. And yes, I think we're all queuing in. We're all trying to listen, you know, for is the story that you told me back at camp playing out here the same? Has a tone changed? Wait, am I hearing somebody else's name? Is there a tension between somebody else? So I think you're paying attention to that, but it's easy to get lost in that also. Like, and I don't know if I want to say lost in, but it's, yes, I'm sometimes cued into it, but I don't know that I'm any more cued into it than anyone else.
Yeah.
You know,
I've thought about that myself in terms of like doing podcasts where I kind of feel like that in a way that, okay, maybe tribal council is not like therapy. Maybe it's like a podcast and sort of, you know, and you're on a panel and Jeff is asking you questions. And I feel like that maybe I would, you know, be listening for a little bit more like, well, who's really uncomfortable with answering that type of question and who is, you know, really feels like very, like they're very solid in their convictions about that answer. So, but it's also, you know, the difference between that, or maybe not, is that, you know, I think that people have the more misdirection coming out at the tribal council, which is hopefully not as much the case in a therapy session or a podcast.
Right. 100%. I mean, I think that is a huge difference. And we're sitting there, and you also have to think too, we're sitting there, you know, when I do therapy, and that's been one of the really hard things. Not to digress completely, but you know, I've been doing telehealth, which has been where I can see people, but I've also started to see people back in my office and we wear masks.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. And so think of, you know, so for me, it's like at tribal council, like we're all sitting there, but you're not getting to just watch people. like, you know, we turn and we look and, you know, you kind of glance back and to see somebody's facial expressions. But so even when you're hearing that story, there's so much that we're missing sitting there. You know, we're not seeing all of the body cues that Jeff's seeing. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing the side eye that somebody else is giving somebody down at the other end. So it makes it more difficult, you know, versus a podcast like here, like you're just seeing, like I'm just seeing you, you're just seeing me, or Jeff's looking at all of us. And
yes, but I know the difference between being in a room with somebody and then you also have that sort of rapport as opposed to like being on video like we are, or just having the audio, which is also like a different experience, which is not necessarily bad because I think that you are more like attuned to the words that people are saying. So it's more of an experience like that you would have as the listener of the podcast. So do you feel like that being a person who sits on the ends where you have like more of like the ability to see the whole picture, is that an advantage at the tribal councils?
I don't know if it's an advantage, but I like it. And and I guess, yeah, I would say because you can, because it's less conspicuous or it's, you know, more inconspicuous, because if I'm turning, I can be looking at anyone down. And I mostly always, you know, most of the time I did sit on an end. And so it does, it gives you that opportunity to turn and look versus being someone in the middle who's turning and, you know, you look out of place in the middle, you know, turning or starting to whisper, or, you know, you can kind of get away with that a little bit more.
Yeah. So Natalie is going to go home at that first tribal council. And then do you feel like that? Okay, well now, all right, things are really going according to plan now. And I have like a, you know, a solid place in this tribe.
Yeah, no, because again, it's the, okay, I got through that vote. I mean, that's really kind of my, it's, I just need one more day. I need one more vote. So in my mind, it's, okay, I got through this vote and I'm safe. So now I have to keep trying to solidify something. And the only person that I felt solid with at that point was Adam.
Yeah.
I had that connection with Adam. And then it was, you know, again, all the moving parts with, okay, we all banded together. And was it going to be Danny? Was it going to be Natalie? Okay, it's Natalie. And now we've got Jeremy pissed off that Natalie's. And so then all those parts immediately after tribal council start moving again. You know, it's like, nothing stayed cohesive. Mm-hmm. And so I never, for myself at least, it was never feeling like I had something solid at that point. It was, okay, I've had them, but it's not going to help me to have just one. Right?
So, it's so we're going to see you then out looking for the idols with Ben. You'd said you wanted to work with Ben. How did that come up of like, hey, can you teach me how to find the idols like you do? Or is he volunteering, hey, want to go look for idols?
He's awesome. So it was, I don't remember if everybody was gone, but Rob had gone out fishing, I think. And everybody was out on the raft, and Ben and I were back at camp. And clearly at that point we were the only two around camp at that point. So I can't remember where, if anybody else was still on the island, or maybe they were off on a walk, or, you know, doing it, you know, with production. And Ben brought up something about like, should we go look for it? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, and so just walking down the path, I'm like, dude, I have no clue. I haven't, you know, I sucked in my first season trying to find an idol when it was literally underneath my hand. You know, it took Malcolm and I, you know, how long to find that stupid idol, and he found it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, it's kind of joking with him, kind of humoring myself, like, I don't know what I'm looking for. And he was so, he's like, look for anything, you know, like, so he's literally like, look for anything that's not a part of nature. Look for, I'm like, okay, that's a good way to think of it. And, you know, and so he's reaching around, and so it just kind of came up like that. And then here I find it, you know, and again, all the rational things that you think you should do, like, oh, I should see it and not tell him and like shove it in my pants.
Yeah.
It all goes out the window. I'm like, Ben, like, hey,
well,
I'm so
look,
excited.
You did the right thing. He tried to do that with Tony later on in the season and it didn't go great.
Right.
Yeah.
And just not, you know, and I think I just through the game, I realized who I am, and there are certain things I'm good at and there are certain things I'm not good at. And it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I got excited. I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, I think I just found the idol. And, you know, so it was. And he was so awesome about it. And, you know, again, hindsight's 20/20. Looking back, there are things I wish I would have done differently with that idol in that very moment.
Yes.
And I think I might have had he not given me the opening, because then when Ben and I went and looked at that idol, he was like, well, what should we do with it? What do you want to do with it? And I'm like, I don't know, you know, because he knew already that I was aligned with Adam. And so he was, I think, doing what he thought he needed to do in the kind of game that he wanted to play. And so he had basically said, hey, no, I totally get it. If you want to go give that half to Adam, I'm okay with that. And, you know, I and I'm like, well, that's something. Well, that's pretty awesome. Like, okay, thank you. You know, had he not done that, I think I would have given him just right there the other half.
Yeah.
And maybe that would have solidified something differently. Or I think, oh my gosh, why didn't I just step into another, you know, lean into another strategic conversation with Ben right at that moment? It would have been ideal.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
But also, you know, knowing a little bit about Ben's story now, that I feel like that he maybe wouldn't have wanted half of an idol.
I don't exactly, because he really wanted to play. You know, every conversation that I've had with Ben, either in the game or out of the game, you know, he's really talked about wanting to have this opportunity to play a very different game.
Yeah.
And the social part, and not be viewed as this guy who's just out here, you know, hunting for idols, or that people were ticked off at. And so I think that was a part of it, you know, and he got to have the, and he did, he literally got to help me find an idol. Like, did I find it on my own? Yes. But would I have been out there looking? Probably not. Like, I would look every time I go out, but you know, it was just different. So I think it did. I think you might be right.
And I think it was also, that was a cool scene for him too, because I felt like that, you know, he got, you know, a hit with a lot of stuff, especially like on social media after that. Oh, they rigged it. They gave Ben all of those idols. And I thought that was really cool that he got to demonstrate his skill set of like, oh no, this is how you actually find the idol. And he was able to teach you, you know, his method of how he's able to find an idol.
Exactly. And you know, that is huge. And because it's so not rigged, you know, and like you look at, you know, like all the idols that were found through this next season, they were all in a different place somewhere. You know, and just for people to know, like things like I wouldn't think of, like if one was found down low, the next one might be up high.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if one was out by the beach, then another one might be in by the jungle. I mean, these are things, I'm not a hunter. I'm not an idol hunter. And yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. Okay, so you go to Adam, and you're talking to Adam about what to do with the idol. And in the episode, you're talking to him about, like, maybe we should give a half to Parvati. And there was some question about whether or not that maybe you were testing him. But you've said, no, I thought I'd give the idol to Parvati, maybe.
Yeah, and I will probably take so much heat for this. But again, this was me thinking, you know, and there's, again, you know, there's so much that doesn't get shown. And Parvati, you know, Parvati and I had conversations, and we talked about her daughter. And, you know, so there had been this connection that I'd kind of been trying to build with Parv also, you know, and thinking, you know, I could see myself playing with her. And at that time, you know, when I said that, it wasn't that far-fetched in terms of, you know, Adam was still kind of playing both sides. And it was, okay, which side of this are we going to go? Are we going to go with the Robin Parvati side? Or are we going to jump, you know, over, like, which side? We hadn't had to be forced to out ourselves as to which side of the alliance. And so I genuinely was thinking, okay, if we want to do this, how can I solidify this with somebody else? So it may not have been as horrible, but clearly Adam was like, no, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah. And the way he framed it made it seem like it was a worse idea. He's like, I think that's a terrible idea. But
and why would I tell him that?
But that being said, you know, you might make a overture to Parvati, and it might change things. And just because Parvati is a very dangerous player doesn't mean that she necessarily was going to screw you over on that. So it who knows?
And that's it. Who knows?
There's no bad ideas in brainstorming, Denise.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Hopefully not. Thank you. Yeah. That's very kind.
Yeah.
But clearly, but even in that, you know, I think of Rob's a poker player. Adam's a poker player. I'm clearly in these moments. It's like, here are all my cards. I think I was going to give part of this to Parvati. So for Adam, I'm sure he probably sat there like, A, why would you tell me that? And B, why would you think of doing that when I'm supposed to be your number one, even if I wasn't necessarily his number one?
Yeah.
So yeah, not, I'm not always the strategic prowess that Survivor maybe requires.
Yeah. But you know what works for you. And, you know, it's, you know, unfortunate that the game, I feel like, has really gone to a place where so much of that is, you know, not what comes naturally to you. But it doesn't mean that you should get away from what your strong suits are.
No, I don't think you can get away from it. You know, I don't think you can, you know, whether or not it's your strong suit or not, it, whatever you bring out to the island, it is, it's how you're wired, mm-hmm. you know, it's how you're wired. And you're right. I think the game has just evolved to a place where that trait that I have that works really well for me in real life and worked for me the first time. Yeah. It's just not, it's, you know, the evolution, you know, it's like, well, I needed to learn a few things and my evolution hasn't gone down that path, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I still have to work with what I had out there. So. Yeah.
And I think that you had a good instinct, though, that to, you know, partner with somebody like Adam, who is like, that is like one of his strengths, where he's really looking at the game from that perspective. So this could have been, you know, a formidable duo under other circumstances.
Right. And I needed that. You know, like you said, I definitely, again, went into the game. And I remember writing out my strategy even the first time that I played. And it was, okay, I'm going to need somebody like this, and I'm going to need somebody like that. And I remember even the very first time out going, I'm going to need somebody who's a bit more cutthroat than me. I'm going to need somebody who's a bit more strategic than me, because I know that that's not who I am. You know, I know who I am. Like, I know who I am when we play, when we go to family gatherings up at my dad's, we play Hearts. I don't know if you've ever played Hearts.
Yes, yes.
And, or, you know, we'll play something like that. And I'm the one at the table that as soon as I get the hand that I think I can run the Hearts with, I start laughing.
Yeah.
And so they all know that I'm going to try and run it. And I almost always fail at it because, you know, I'm just not, you know, versus my dad, who's really much more strategic playing Hearts. And he's like he can bluff better. I can't bluff. I can't. So
I don't know, Denise. I saw when you got Sandra out of the game. I don't know. You weren't laughing right before that happened.
No. You know why? Because I was sick. And you can even ask Kim this if you talk to her. Like, she knows. Like, I was literally sick to my stomach before that vote. Like
from nerves or yeah. You were, yeah.
Yeah. No, like literally, like TMI, this will probably be TMI. Feel free to cut this out if you need to, but TMI, if people go back and watch the episode and when Sandra comes up to me, they'll notice I'm squatting.
Yeah.
I'm squatting in the sand because I couldn't get up.
Yeah.
Because my stomach was so upset. So I had to basically try and get her down there to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was just nervous, I didn't know how the vote would go. And maybe it was just the coconut, but I really didn't feel so good.
Okay. All so, right. Well, that's a tease for where we'll get to eventually. But I just want to talk through a little bit more of this original Cele group, because you guys are going to ultimately, Danny is going to go here. And it was kind of a little muddy in terms of like what we got to see on the show in terms of how it played out. But from your perspective, did Danny play her way into getting voted out, or was this some other circumstances?
From my perspective, and everybody has a different perspective on this. I think Danny kind of unfortunately worked her way into that.
Yes.
Because Danny came out much like myself, but Danny came out. Danny is an athlete. Like, Danny is very much an athlete. Danny came out to prove, like, I think to play and to prove she was a solid player. And she came out playing hard and fast. And so I think she, you know, was going over to Robin Parvati, and she was, I think, just playing really, she was playing really hard and really vocally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was making people nervous. Like, it was, do I want to, like, not like, do I want to associate with Danny? Not that, but it's like, okay, but if I go over with Danny, are people going to think that I'm being sketchy with Danny? And I mean, again, the moving parts were constantly in motion. I think Danny kind of, she came out, she was playing hard, and I don't discredit her for that. I think, man, she played harder than I did in the first couple of days that she was out there. But then she became, unfortunately, then, you don't want that vote on you, right?
Yeah.
And if somebody's doing that, you know, just like Adam and I, it's, you become the next target. Like, you do. Any reason to get the vote off of you. And it's, oh, now we can say that Danny's being kind of sketch, or Danny's playing too hard. And then there was Baggate that never really got talked about. And that became this huge ordeal.
Right.
And
so that Jeremy had said that somebody went through his bag, and which was something that he made up and to try to, you know, ultimately get attention off of him after Natalie got voted out. And then Danny ended up being the person who was the recipient of the suspicion, correct?
Totally. And she was really offended by that. So again, this is where like the game mixes with personalities. You know, I remember Danny being really emotional, like upset, like I'm being accused of getting in somebody's bag and, you know, this is my integrity and I'm not lying. And I mean, and so then it turns, so then by her response, you know, which again is a natural, normal response. It's like that defensiveness, then she became your target.
But why was Danny under so much scrutiny over like who went through Jeremy's bag? And then at Tribal Council, Boston Rob says, all right, everybody, let's go through your bags. Everybody dump your bags on the ground. And you, Denise, have the hidden immunity idol also. And you're sitting there right there. This time you're in the front row, right? And luckily you're not that close to Boston Rob, but you must have been sweating. You must have been having stomach pains that night.
Yeah, this was that. I remember that moment very clearly because I'm sitting there. And again, Adam and I have talked. I'm like, wait, and now I've come to, I'm like, no, I know I had both pieces. At first he was like, no, I think it was in my sock. And then I'm like, no, now I remember because I had both pieces wrapped up in a pair of my socks, but I knew they weren't like super tight. So they would clank. If I dumped my bag, both of the pieces were going to clank and possibly make noise. And I remember sitting there just like, it's nothing to see here, boys. Like, don't draw attention. Don't respond. So it's kind of like being in session. It was like being in session and having a client who escalated and going, okay, like you have to remain calm. You can't respond to this.
You're saying that to yourself.
Yep. I was sitting there like, nope, just, you know, you have it in your bag. And if you're going to, how are you going to do this? So as that's going on, I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? I'm like, okay, everybody knows I always fold my stuff in my bag. So they're not going to think anything weird if I want to set it on the ground because I'm a little compulsive. I like my stuff neat. So I did. So just as Rob said, I'm like, okay, fine. I'll just set things out one at a time. And so it was on the ground. Like I had set the idol out on the ground in my pair of socks and then put other stuff on top of it. And then like, there you go. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So yeah, bag gate, you know, both.
Did you ever get the sense that who was Rob trying to out as the idol haver? Did he think that it was Ben?
I thought at that time, I really thought that he thought Adam, and that's, so that's confusing because Adam, it sounds like has talked about maybe being kind of in some, like knowing something was going to happen with Rob about the bag. So I think it was either Ben or Adam.
Yeah.
Definitely had the suspicions on that.
I believe that Adam said that he and Rob were like, had a, you know, at least enough of a rapport that they were going to like get things heated. But I thought Adam had said that, no, that did actually piss him off that Rob was doing that at Tribal Council. He did think that that was too much.
It was frustrating, I think, for all of us. It was kind of like, and the funny thing is though, why did we do it? Like, it's like, we all willingly were like, okay, let's dump it. Like, again, these are these things in the moment. You think like if somebody came into my office right now and said, dump out your bag, I'd be like, no, like that's my bag and I'm not dumping it out. Like, why do you need to like you? But in the game, it's you're doing anything to not draw attention to you. So yeah, we all went with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty annoying.
And Danny gives you a fire token also, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
So did you feel like the fire tokens were, I know you ultimately are going to buy rice at the end of the game, but did you feel like the fire tokens were going to ultimately be some sort of like major difference maker in the game for you guys?
We did. I think we all did. We were trying to figure it out though. I didn't have any sense. It's like, okay, they gave us one for a reason. And then to get another one, it's like, okay, there's some kind of, again, the currency, we knew we had the menu, but they're like for us in terms of what we could buy at that time, there wasn't anything. Nobody wanted to buy a tarp. Even after it rained, nobody, you know, it's so nobody was buying anything.
Yeah.
And I had no idea stuff was coming from the edge or, you know, other than the token when they went to Edge of Extinction. But yeah, so I think we didn't know at that point. Didn't know.
Although I bet the Matt Singh tribe would have bought a tarp with fire tokens.
Would have been the first thing I would have bought. I would have been like, I'll give you my token. I'll do anything you want to have you give me your tokens.
Yes.
The tarp would have been lovely. Yeah. That would be great. Okay.
We have one more crazy vote for Cell A Tribe, where we are going to see, ultimately, it's going to go to Ethan, but it starts off, okay, you guys are on board, we're going to vote out Parvati here, but you said you had a relationship with Parvati. Was that an easy decision for you to say, okay, let's vote Parvati next?
It was, because at that point, again, I wouldn't say I had a close relationship, but I had that potential relationship with Parvati, and that was, you know, that was the deciding vote for me, that it was going to be Parvati, and it was really going to be, and this is where I'm picking which side of the road I'm going to be on. Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to go over here and be over with Ben and Michelle and Adam and, you know, whoever else is over here on this side, or am I going to lean over on this side and stick with, again, Rob and Parvati and whomever that might be. And mm-hmm. So Parvati, you know, the group consensus had kind of come around to Parvati. And then, yeah, as you know, like it all, it's like, what in the world just happened? You know, like we have a plan, but wait, now Adam, you what? Yeah. Like, so, and then, you know, we had the whole situation with Adam playing hard and doing what he thought mm-hmm. would work. And then it was like, well, we got to figure something else out. And we still wanted one of those three, the group of us that I was, what wanted one of those three to go, either Rob or Parvati or Ethan. And unfortunately, Ethan literally just became like collateral damage. Like it was like, well, he's the one we can all agree on before we go. And okay, Ethan's going. Mm-hmm.
Was there,
if that makes any sense,
any thought to put the vote on Rob, or was there a concern that he had the idol?
I don't remember there at that point. I don't remember there being, which is bizarre. You know, it's mm-hmm. the same thing with Tony. Like, why didn't people, you know, target Tony sooner? Why didn't we target Rob? And I think, again, no, I think especially people like Jeremy or maybe even Adam, you know, viewed them as bigger targets that we needed to keep, that they needed to keep in the game. So I think that the heat never really, I don't remember his name really ever being thrown out there at that point. I think eventually he got talked about, you know, Ben and Rob kind of started butting heads, and we all got a little annoyed mm-hmm. after a while, certain things. But at the same time, nobody ever made a serious effort at that point during Cell A to try and get him out.
So Adam is really in the doghouse with all of Cell A, but did you ever have a one-on-one with him as somebody that you had been working closely with him about, like, hey, what, Adam, what's going on here?
I did. And again, these are things you don't show. Yeah. It was like having the mom conversation in the woods. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I'm supposed to be your alliance and you are making people nervous. Like, what are you doing? Like, you can't do that. Like, you are in hot water. So I remember, you know, walking and he's like, well, what? I'm like, dude, I don't know, but you can't do this. Like, if you can't, you know, go off and say something or tell, like, you burnt, like, you blew up our plan. And it was kind of like that. I'm going to have this mom, like it felt like having this mom conversation, like, I need to tell you what you did wrong and please learn your lesson. Like, don't do this again. Mm. And I think, you know, again, at that point, it already becomes like the damage is already done, you know? And so then that changes my game with Adam. It's okay. If people are now looking at Adam as sketchy, then they're going to start looking at me as sketchy if I stay in this close alliance with him. So I know there's one confessional or at one point where I'm like, Jeremy's talking to me about, would you vote Adam out? I'm like, sure, done.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically, again, get that vote off of me and kind of to distance yourself from anyone who's creating the waves in the tribe.
Yeah. Now that's now, or that's when you guys get to the merge?
That was, I think, right around that point.
Okay.
No. That was right before Adam was voted out. So that was later.
Yeah, later on. Okay.
And see, I can't keep it straight.
All right. So you guys end up going to the swap, and then you swap with Jeremy, with Kim, and with Tony, and with Sandra. And you guys are down. There's only two Cell A there and three to call. But were you feeling hopeless with this potential swap, or do you think that there was room?
I did not feel like there was much room. I had tried. And again, you know, Jeremy was like, what should we do? I don't know. But Jeremy and I never really had deep, again, strategic conversations. It was more, and, you know, I should have talked to him about maybe my idol or, you know, the sand situation. But the one opportunity I had tried to get into was to try and see where Sandra's head was. There was a conversation with Sandra and Kim and I where I'm, you know, hey, is there, you know, what's happening? Is there any flexibility? And Sandra had initially at that point said,
yeah.
Yeah, no, pretty much.
Yeah, you're nice. You're a wonderful person. I think she's.
You're a wonderful person, and I'm going to vote you out. I mean, and that's honest. I thought she is. Like, there is no, like, nobody is saying, hey, you know, come in here. And I've been trying to work with Kim a little bit, you know, and, and again, I think my struggle in the game is I didn't lean into strategy hard enough. I just needed to say, like, I literally probably just needed to say, hey, I want to work with you. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's figure this out and just be so straightforward. And I think I was trying to hold my cards and it didn't work.
Well, talk to me about this relationship with Kim, because you guys get there. And as a person watching the show, I really felt like, okay, oh, I think that this is going to be a real, like, you know, another powerful duo, especially in the that she won season 24 and you won season 25. And I always feel like that there's some sort of bond there of people that, you know, play around the same time that you play. And being like one of those, remember when there were three women winners in a row and you guys were part of that group? And I was surprised that that didn't stick. I really thought that Kim was going to flip. But when I spoke with Kim, she had said that she felt like that you were a little bit not super on board to do it. And she got the sense that maybe that that wasn't something that you necessarily wanted to do. You weren't all in.
I think I was definitely too noncommittal.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, and that is one of my big flaws in the game is I get locked in. So I came into DeKal kind of thinking, Sully strong, you know, and I get this is kind of how, and it's just how I am in, I think, life. And it's a problem in the game is I came in thinking I'm going to stand true to my alliances and Sully strong. And so I can't betray them. So, well, there were only two of us at DeKal. And so I kept thinking I need to pull one in without thinking, wait, you can leave this and you can just jump ship. And so I definitely didn't, you know, Kim and I had a conversation on the beach at one point, like, hey, I really do feel like we could go deep in the game and I'd really like that. But then we never really solidified it with me saying, can I join you? It was always me saying like, hey, would you like consider voting out, you know, Tony or Sandra and join Jeremy and I, like we would be strong. And I think I just, had I done the opposite.
Yeah.
Hindsight.
Yeah, which is interesting because like your original experience was that, you know, that you were basically like looking for a place to like to find a new home because you had nothing else except for Malcolm, who was on the other tribe. And you were very good at that. It was a miracle that you were able to find a home at Calibur.
Yep, exactly. Like I wanted
like it.
Your accents are always very spot on.
I try.
Adam. And have you heard some of Adam's impressions? Oh, my God.
I've heard a couple.
Hilarious. Sorry. Like, that entertained us on the island. So, but no, like, look at that. So, I mean, look at how different that is. But I think that was also because Malcolm wasn't there with me.
Yeah.
That made a difference. So, I knew Malcolm had to do his own thing. I had basically told him before we left, hey, when we come back, I'm coming back to you. Like I'd already kind of committed to, I will be back in whatever form that will be. I'm still going to be loyal to you. And so I think it was different for me having somebody that I felt like I needed to be loyal to still right there. That maybe had I been the only one, you know, somehow, maybe it would have been different. I would have been more willing to say like, oh my gosh, like Tony, come on, like use me as a number, something, you know, I realize I'm not a big meat shield, but I can be a great number, you know, and
yeah. So this is at this point in the game. I think that really one of the things that Tony starts to do here with Kim is really start to get into, hey, it's lions and hyenas, Kim, you're one of the big targets and we got to make sure that the lions stick together, because I don't think that she was really part of what was going on at DeKal, but they're able to, you know, remind her, hey, big targets, Kim, if you were going to potentially go with the smaller targets. Did you take any offense to the hyena talk that starts to pop up here?
No, it is what it is. I think you become attuned to it. I think you start hearing it. but A, I think just I don't get offended easily, but it's that, you know, hyenas are still pretty vicious, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, if I'm going to get called anything, you know, they're not calling me a goat, mm-hmm. you know, they're not calling me a slug. So, okay, a hyena, I can still take you out if I want, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. if we get enough of us, we can be dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think I ever did, but I, when you start hearing those conversations, there is that reality of, wow, we are being viewed as something less than though. Yeah. And which makes, yeah, which is not fun.
Yeah.
But.
Denise, do you also feel like that maybe you weren't like, you know, chomping at the bit to work with Kim, or at least like let her know, because that you had your idol and you felt like that, okay, well, if worse comes to worse, I'll play my idol and I'll be safe.
Yeah, definitely. That was always in the back of my mind. Like, I'm not going home tonight. Yeah. Like at that tribal council, I knew no matter what happens, I will not be going home. I will play my idol. If I don't feel like I've solidified something, if I don't feel safe, you know, I'm going to protect myself. Mm-hmm. And I still hoped up until, you know, it was, I can't remember how close it was to the very end, you know, to before tribal council. And Kim had said, you know, all along, I can't do it. I can't, like, we had Jeremy and I'd been trying to pull, like, come on, just vote with us, just do this. And she said, I can't, it's too soon. I can't. Mm-hmm. And so I knew, or at least I didn't necessarily know that she was going to vote for me, but I knew she wasn't going to vote with me.
Yeah.
You know, going into it. So I knew.
Did you and Jeremy have a lot of conversation about what you guys were going to do when you eventually have to go to that tribal council, or it was just sort of understood, okay, it's every person for themselves?
We more so had, I think, the every person for themselves, like, figure it out. I think not, you know, I think we knew we were going to be in a bind that if we couldn't pull somebody in, mm-hmm. one, it was going to be one of us, was the anticipation of one of us is going home. And again, had I said, hey, I have an idol that we can use to do something. Why I didn't do that. I ended up burning it, you know, wasting it, or, you know, if you think of, I don't think I wasted it completely. I'll explain that a little bit,
yes.
but it did get used, you know, it got used unnecessarily, and I could have maybe maneuvered with that.
Yeah. Well, also because he had an advantage too. And, you know, we saw like in David versus Goliath where people are, the Davids were talking about, oh, I have this advantage. You guys mm-hmm. could both play your advantages.
Right.
Even at the point that you have Sandra's idol, one of them is going home no matter what at that point.
And, you know, and I'd be curious, like, I would love to know Jeremy's take, like, had I come to him with that, what yeah. could we have done? Would he have been willing? And at that point, I think he would not have been, I don't think he would have been willing to vote Tony out. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, because Tony would have been a bigger shield for him
yeah.
than Sandra, you know, or yeah, I don't know. I don't
Sandra's
know. If
quick on the draw.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's talk about the great moment of voting out Sandra, and an iconic moment in the history of the show. So congratulations on having that. That was really just an incredible night when that all happened. So you, I guess, talk this through of Sandra, you know, she has that wonderful, you're a wonderful person conversation with you, but then she pulls you aside because she wants to, you know, hey, Denise, do you have any fire tokens?
Yeah. Like out of the blue. So everybody's away. I've already basically been told you're going home, you know, like, yeah, you're so sweet. See ya. And then, yeah, she asked me about fire tokens. And then what would I give for immunity? And it was, she just out of the blue, just right at the shelter, started trying to have this conversation with me. And I wasn't, and honestly, I wasn't following. I'm like, well, I would give immunity. Like, mm-hmm. what would you give her? Well, I would love immunity. And
yeah.
I just clearly was not firing. All of my cylinders were not firing. And finally she's like, no, what if I could, if you gave me two fire tokens, basically I will give you, you know, two fire tokens, I'll give you immunity. And I'm like, and then you see, like, I'm like, wait, are you
yeah.
idle?
Yeah.
And it went so fast though. Like that whole interaction happened in just a matter of minutes. And she's like, you know, we don't have much time. And she pulls out the note and I'm looking more at the idol than the note. And I should have read the note, which maybe that would have helped me feel more secure in it.
Yeah.
But it looked so fake. I still didn't know. okay, is this Sandra scamming me? Like, is this, I don't know, like, and what the purpose would be. They could easily just vote me out or, and so, yeah, so I didn't take it right away. So she, you know, did that offer. And I'm like, I just like, you don't have much time, but think about it. I'm like, okay, all right, all right. And you know, you go for a walk and then my stomach starts like churning and I'm like, I have to have this conversation and I have to decide if I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And so luckily I did. I mean, luckily I did say, okay, like it's kind of the go big or go home. What do you have to lose? Give her a token, keep a token. And then I'll make this deal that if it's real and you come back, I'll give you, you know, give you the second token. And yeah. So it was just a very rushed process, but I still didn't know what to make of her mm-hmm. at that point. You know, you're not trusting anything. You know, she's saying, hey, you know, I'll do this if you'll vote out Jeremy. If you'll vote out Jeremy and you can't tell anyone that I gave this to you. And then as the conversation, this was before she'd actually, I'd gotten it from her. She had then suddenly switched up and said, or you can vote out Tony, like Tony or Jeremy. And then it's like, bells are really going off. Like, wait a minute, Tony's your alliance guy and I can take your idol and vote him out. Like, this feels like I'm doing your dirty work for you, kind of. Like, what's going on? So I just didn't really trust her, mm-hmm. which probably tainted my willingness, again, to yeah. vote her out, you know, versus maybe taking some extra time and going, okay, who would it really benefit me to vote out? Tony, Sandra, Kim, Jeremy, who? Like, who would it be the better bet? But
if she hadn't said anything about Tony, do you think that you would have accepted the offer or done anything different?
I think either way, I would have accepted the offer.
Yeah.
Would I have done anything different? I don't know. I think I would have felt less sketchy about her.
Yes.
So maybe I think had she not said anything about Tony, I might have, I don't know. I might have not voted her out, and yeah. I might have voted for Tony, or I wouldn't have voted Kim out because I knew I wanted to track Kim and I wasn't going to put my vote on Jeremy.
Was it just like the weirdness around this that made you distrust Sandra, or were there any other reasons that you felt like that she was somebody that you couldn't work with?
I would have loved to have worked with her, but I've watched Survivor.
Yeah.
And so I knew, you know, every season, you know, Sandra, you know, she hasn't won twice for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, there's reason she has gotten to the end, and I knew the kind of game that I thought she'd played, you know, that anyone but me, and she is much more devious and sneaky in a positive way in the game. And
sure.
So I didn't have that trust. I didn't think, like, you know, and she, you know, Sandra's a great person, you know, she's awesome. She's amazing. But in the game, I just didn't feel like I could trust her in the game.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk through that? You said that you felt like that playing the idol on Jeremy, that you felt like that you got something else out of that.
Yeah, I definitely in the moment, you know, I had needed to make sure that the idol was actually accurate for myself. But I think at that point I was thinking, okay, if the wheels fall off and we come back here, I need somebody, like, I need him to know, like, one, I want to make sure that he's here. Like, I didn't know for sure that they were all voting for me. I didn't know if, yeah. you know, I wasn't really sure, like, could a vote be going on him? You know, could Sandra be saying no, like lying to me so that they'll vote him out? And so one, it was to solidify and make sure that the one person that I thought I had an alliance with would be safe. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, you know, it doesn't feel wasted, or it didn't feel wasted because it was at least saying, hey, I really did have your back. Like, I really did want to make sure that we could get out of this tribe, you know, in one piece and hopefully make it to the next stage or the next step.
Did you feel like after you played the idol on Jeremy that your relationship with Jeremy was improved because of what you did?
I don't know that it really changed dramatically. Yeah. I really don't think it changed dramatically. I think he was really surprised by it.
Yeah.
It hadn't been bad before. It hadn't been awesome before. But in terms of strategy wise, we never in the game really had, you know, Jeremy again is super confident. Like, you know, there's certain players out there that are just really confident and have their own way of playing. And, you know, and I think Jeremy was looking for meat shields.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, hey, that was a nice thing to do for me. Thanks, lady. But you're not really going to do much for me down the road.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that, you know, to put it out there. And again, I would love to hear his take on this. I think bottom line, I don't think he really saw me as having a great deal of value to add to his game, yeah. You know, in terms of Shield. And that makes sense. That makes sense to me. So it didn't like hurt the game or it didn't hurt my relationship with him, but I don't think it really helped it in any great, great way.
Okay. So you guys are planning for the merge after this happens where Sandra is gone. Did you feel like that the merge was set up in a decent spot for you in terms of like how it was looking with the relationships that you had at that point?
Yeah, I think for me, it felt okay. I think it didn't feel like awesome, but I at least felt like I was coming back in and I had now had maybe gained some trust with Kim. Like, hey, I said I was going to do this and I really do. And, you know, kind of reinforcing, I really would like to play with you. And I really did feel like I was feeling closer and more connected with Kim. I felt like I'd shown Jeremy. So Jeremy couldn't come back and say like, hey, she betrayed Sully. So I was kind of trying to do that. Hey, Sully strong and coming back in and, hey, Adam, see, I didn't betray us. And Ben, I didn't betray us. And, you know, so trying to come back in and I felt like I was at an okay place when I came back.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So at the merge and even before that, you were very open with talking about the whole Sandra thing and telling the story and like not seemingly not trying to downplay it very much. Was that part of you feel like and you're grimacing that was a mistake?
I don't know. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
It's a total mixed bag. If I had come in and not said anything and not owned that move, had I ever gotten to the end,
yeah,
then I think I lose respect from the jury because I'm not standing up and saying, hey, I did this. This was my move.
Yeah.
I have some game in me to play. But at the same time, here I'm coming into a merge, not knowing who I was really aligned with Sandra and where those relationships were. And now all of a sudden we're at the family dinner and like the focus is on me and it's like, yeah. And here, so I tried to kind of do it as like, hey, I did this because she was going to screw you. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to help you, you know, but yeah, it's, I don't know. I think unfortunately it put me on the radar a little bit for people that maybe I didn't need, but I think had I not been on the radar, I could have been gone even sooner.
It's hard because, you know, you're already getting the hyena talk. Yeah, we're one of the hyenas. It's like, well, maybe Denise is a lion now. Maybe she voted out Sandra. Maybe we got to talk about her as a lion. She's a big target.
Right.
Tony said, you know, he loved it because that you were a bigger target now.
Yeah, I think because it gave for Tony, and I don't think I ever was a bigger target than Tony. We just, it gave some camouflage for him for a brief second for, you know, again, it's anything to get the attention off of you. Mm-hmm. And Tony at that point knew he had to be playing a different game. You know, he couldn't have attention. He couldn't be, you know, looking like the crazy Tony from seasons past. And, you know, he knew that he's a smart player.
And we haven't really talked much about Tony, but at this point in time, you spent a couple of days with him, like a week or so in the game. And did you get any sense from him at that point of like, okay, well, this is a whole different person than who I imagined I was going to be out here with?
I remember being asked, like, what do you think of Tony? You know, in production interviews, Tony was completely different from what I expected. I'd expected to come in and go, I think this guy is crazy and a little bit of an ass.
Yeah.
And he was amazing. Like, and I think part of it, because everybody, when we got to that new DeKalb, we were all parents.
Yeah.
And so there was this different level of conversation that was happening. We were talking about families and talking about home and talking about who's got the green egg at home and how do you smoke this? And we're talking about Kim's kids and, you know, and so it was a different way to bond with him.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed. So I really just more so enjoyed. And I think unfortunately then you have this time where you see people in a different light that you forget what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And you forget that, oh, Tony is so good that he can flip that switch. And we saw it, right? You saw it. Like he goes from calm, cool, collected Tony, who's still playing the game and playing very, very well, to holy crap, balls to the wall, running around the island, building more shacks, you know, like fly nests or whatever.
Yes, and yes.
Yeah. Like he's insane. He is absolutely insane, but in a good way.
In a good way. Yeah.
Yeah. In a good way.
Okay. Denise, you're going to come into the merge with a big merge feast. And then also, it's kind of a crazy vote. You're going to win individual immunity here.
Get some fire tokens also. But the vote is getting very chaotic in terms of where it's going to go. And there's some talk about Adam. And this is when you have that conversation with Jeremy about how, hey, do you mind if we let Adam go? He said, well, it was a day one alliance. I don't know if it's a day 39 alliance.
Yeah. And that exactly. And that's, it was definitely, and that was exactly the point in time when I knew you've got to be willing. Like, and I think that's thinking back to my first season. It's, you know, I was willing to stay with Malcolm all the way to the end. And had I not changed course at the very last minute,
yeah,
I would have lost. And we know that. We know I would have lost the game. And it was thinking kind of along those lines, like, if I don't change course here, this might sink my ship, because all targets, you know, all arrows are going towards Adam. And inevitably, if he doesn't get hit by one of them's going to peg me. And it's, you know, yeah, I'm by kind of that guilty by association.
Yeah.
So I was willing to cut bait at that
point. Denise, did you have a target at this point in time that you wouldn't have minded if Adam went home, but was there one person that you were hoping the target would ultimately land on?
I think alternately we were looking at Nick, I think was the one that was getting kind of brought up. And again, I was looking at anyone that I hadn't been able to have any kind of a conversation with. Mm-hmm. Like, if I hadn't been able, you know, and Nick, I'd kind of tried to approach Nick at one point, and he would like there are just moments when, you know, they don't want to talk strategy with me. Mm-hmm. They're not interested in playing ball with me. And that's kind of how I felt with him. I kind of felt that way with Wendell at the time. Because was Wendell still there?
Yeah. No.
Yes. Wendell at the time. You know, so anybody who basically had zero conversation about strategy talk with me, I would have been willing. But at that point, Nick was the alternative. I knew going into, like, I knew the minute we sat down at Tribal Council, before all the chaos and the Adam trying to pull things off of podiums. And
yeah, that's next. That's the next vote.
Before any of that, it's trying to get, you know, I just knew it was going to be coming down to him at one point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about that Adam vote, where, there's some talk again about, oh, it's going to be Adam, it's going to be Nick, it's going to be Michelle, maybe. Yeah. It does feel as though, like, all of the parents do have this bond. Mm-hmm. And so did you get that in terms of, like, okay, well, let's, you know, the family visit is coming. Let's try to get to that point for the families.
Yeah. You know, I never personally had that. Oh, sorry. There's a bird outside my window that just jumped up on the ledge. Just kind of freaked me out. Okay. sorry. Squirrel.
Good omen. That's lucky.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, it's literally looking in my window right now. You know, I don't remember ever having a conversation about, let's get to the family visit. I know that's always on people's minds about, let's get to the visit for our families or for the, never was that a consideration for me, but it was, there is that bond though, mm-hmm, between, I think, people who had kids out there, you know, and it was like, okay, you know, just feeling more comfortable or having those conversations. But so no, that wasn't a part of it, but definitely, again, if that target was off of me and I saw it going towards Adam, it's, I can't save him. Like, there gets to that point, you know, you get to that point where you're,
yeah,
I can't save him, but I also don't want to be the one to throw him under the bus.
Yeah. But also at this point, you know, Adam is the one who's trying to get momentum together to vote out Sarah. And he comes to you and says, like, OK, the plan is going to be Sarah. And you would come to Kim and say, like, hey, Adam's talking about Sarah. Sarah, what do you think of this? And Kim tells you, OK, if that's what everybody wants to do. But behind the scenes, she's like, no way, we can't get rid of Sarah. So let me, I just want to talk this through with you, because that I had thought going in, that I know you and Sarah are you from the same town?
Funny thing is, so when she played, we used to live 3 miles away.
Yeah.
Like, literally 3 miles. Yeah. Like, I could run to her house. We now live in separate towns, but here, that's literally, if you get on the bypass, it's a 15, 20 minute drive.
Sure.
So she lives
in
Fairfax. I live in Marion. But we came in, you know, I had dinner with her once, mm-hmm, during her season. Like, we had, yes, dinner out with she and her husband. And I think I've run into her once outside of a Mexican restaurant. And I think I called her related to a client issue, a policing issue.
Yes, yes.
That is the and we did a triathlon where we each swam a leg or did a leg.
Yes.
And that is it. We don't hang out. We haven't hung out. But that assumption was there.
Yeah.
That assumption was like,
people had that assumption of like, oh, they must be together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then in hindsight, I should have just leaned into it and just said like, screw it. People already think it. So why not just roll with it? Yeah.
But did you guys have like a rapport? Like, did you have some sort of like a like working relationship that was in the game? I know that you're both going to end up on the same side eventually.
Yeah. At that point, we had not really worked. We'd had one conversation earlier about, I think, walking, you know, and kind of saying, hey, the target's going to be on us. People already think we're working together. So we just can't. So we'd kind of already said, like, we're going to need to keep our distance. But yeah, I'd be interested in working with you. But there wasn't a tight working relationship. So when this came up, funny thing is, again, Sarah's a great cop because, and again, I can't lie.
Yeah.
So dummy me. So I tell Kim because I felt close. So it was at that point, I felt close with Adam. I was trying to work with Kim. You know, again, too many moving parts. Mm-hmm. I couldn't keep it straight. Kim went right back. And so it basically all blew up on me. So all of a sudden, Sarah calls me over to the swing and she's like, so I hear you're going to vote me out. What the fuck? And she is in my face. And I'm like, what? Like deer in headlight, like, well, no. So I'm trying to make up the BS. Like, cause I had said, I'd totally be willing to vote you out. But I'm like, no, they threw out this person's name. Like, you know, in the game, you always have to say yes. Like, I don't want. And then I said the worst thing I could have said when she said, so you're going to vote me out. And I'm like, well, I don't want to vote you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't say you don't want to. You say, I'm not going to, or I won't vote you out. But because I said, I don't want to vote you out, she was like, oh, so you would have? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh. So basically, I was felt like I was in hot water again with Sarah, who is connected with Ben. And all this is like, it was chaos. It was just chaotic.
And it all falls apart. But I did feel like that for a bunch of those people. I really feel like that for like the Tyson and Jeremy and maybe ultimately Kim. That I think that, you know, had they been able to go and knock out Sarah, that would have been a big blow to, you know, what was going to be ultimately the controlling power in the second half of the game.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny to look back and think, how did we not see, you know, or how did I not see how tight, like I knew Tony and Sarah were connected, but I didn't realize how connected, like the whole cops are us kind of like they were in literal lockstep. Like they weren't wavering from each other, and how we didn't see that or take advantage of that and do something about that. That's on us. Yeah. You know, that's like,
Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Ben? Because I know it was strong in the beginning, and I know how strong it is at the end, but I feel like in the middle of the game, I feel like that we didn't see a lot of you two interacting. Was that relationship still there, or does it get rekindled at some point?
No, I think it was always there. You just don't see so much. And I think, you know, Ben and I didn't talk a great deal about strategy, and, you know, and we can talk about it more, like where it really it strengthened even more was after the I'm done moment at Tribal Council. And I can explain a little bit more about that, but you know, Ben and I, again, we would talk about family, and he was the one out there that, you know, he was missing his kids and his wife, and I'm missing my daughter and my husband, and I'm a hugger and he's a hugger. So he'd be the one like, hey mama, you know, and like, or, you know, hey mama, do you give me a little side hug? And we would, you know, like I slept next to him in the shelter, you know, most night, you know, so I mean, even just from those things, I don't see, it's just this comfort and this relationship that's getting like a friendship, So it was more that friendship that's not going to make TV because we're not there talking strategy. I would more hear like, hey, you know, so-and-so is driving me crazy or this or that, you know, and we would talk about that, but he would do his strategy talk, you know, very much so, you know, with Sarah and Tony, and I wasn't in that
threesome at that point. Yeah. Okay. So ultimately, Adam is going to go home, and then you guys are going to have the family visit finally. And by the way, the family visit happens. Your husband, your daughter come out. My kids were very confused of that. How come
your daughter is bigger than you. I had to explain that. Sometimes kids grow up and they're taller than their parents.
Exactly.
They never heard that before.
No, little do they know that they'll probably outgrow both you and Nicole.
Nicole.
How tall are you again, Rob?
I'm like 5'10". My wife, they're definitely going to.
Well, they'll hopefully land. Like, she was supposed to land somewhere in between us, and she has. You know, she's 5'7".
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny to see on TV, though. I go, gosh, I'm really small. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really short. You know, compared to that, my husband's 6'2", she's 5'7". So, yeah. So, sorry to confuse your kids, but hopefully, see you.
It was a learning moment.
Lesson. Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So, could you just talk about that? From what I've understood in having conversations with people, this turned out to be really a lot of chaos and ultimately not depicted very well in the show of what was going on here at this vote, where there's a whole fallout that happens between. Tyson has a conversation with Sarah and makes Kim feel like, okay, Sarah is coming for her, and so they're going after that side, and it's a whole war, which is going to ultimately be this big stalemate at the tribal council.
And I can't remember. This is not the, because there were so many votes like this.
This is literally, it's the 5-5.
This is not where Jeremy, Sophie gets up.
Yeah, you know, this is. And then Jeremy's going to ultimately leave the tribal council. And
Jeremy left.
Kim plays her idol on you, and Tyson gets voted out.
That's right. And I didn't have a vote, right?
Yes. Your vote get stolen? Yeah.
Yes. My vote got stolen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mad chaos. And here's where I look back. I'm like, God, lady, you did not have your finger on the pulse of this game. Like trying to figure out
why. And after you told Sarah that you would have voted her out, then she took your vote away. So, we'll see about that.
I know. And little did she know. So then I remember, it's so hard to remember, but conversations going into that tribal council, I was ready. I was going to vote Tyson out.
Yeah.
Like Tyson was who I was voting out. So I was in with that Sarah, Ben.
Yes,
I'm going to vote Tyson out. I don't think they trusted, or Sarah trusted maybe, that I was going to do that. I didn't realize that Kim and Tyson were so all of a sudden we're having this powwow, you know, this conversation. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh shit, Tyson's over here. And you were the one I was going to vote out. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about what we're going to do. And I think that was already at that point, Tyson had looked at me even at that tribal council and said, well, are you going to vote me out? I'm like, dude, I don't have a vote. I'm not voting for anybody, so I don't know what you want me to do. So I just have to sit here.
Yeah.
But it was mad chaos, because it was going, you know, is it going to be Sophie? Is it going to be, you know, Jeremy? Because I think if that was the one that, we were going to, it was initially going to be Jeremy.
Yeah, they were going to vote for Jeremy.
Yes, that we were going to vote for Jeremy. And then if it wasn't Jeremy, then it's going to be Tyson. And mad chaos. So it was good for me. Like, I wanted Tyson to go home. So luckily, Sarah's other vote, so she voted for me, and then she voted for Tyson. So she's like, yeah, I voted for who you wanted anyway. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I answered your question at all.
Well, it's just great to get your POV on stuff like this, because that I know that you're going to have that moment later on in the season where you really you don't like the whispering at Tribal Council, which I think that many of the fans are 100% in your corner. Is that, you know, you like to have these like meaningful, longer, deeper conversations with people. And this is like telephone game at Tribal Council.
Yeah, it drives me insane. And I don't do well with it, mm-hmm. because I do. I'm used to having the conversation. It's like, if I think in therapy, you know, I'm used to sitting down and we have a conversation and we make a plan. And then we have an agenda and we're going to follow up with that plan. And yeah, sometimes that plan goes awry and we make a different plan, but we're having a conversation about it. And it's not just, hey, I think today we'll try this intervention. Like, I don't wing it like that in mm-hmm. therapy. So it's hard to do that in the game where it's suddenly like, oh my gosh, like every single time, almost every time that we went into tribal council, when there was a plan that I thought we were going to be doing, half the time it was, okay, I'm not sure if that plan's going to happen because now we're talking about a different plan, or there are 10 different plans. And the whispering, I hate the whispering. I just hate the whispering. I do. I don't like it.
Yeah. Do you think that they should have it where people can't get up at tribal council? You have something to say, you have to say it out loud. Or do you think that the game is just too fluid that you can't control it? You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
In my perfect world, sit your butt in your seat and have to deal with it.
Let us hear it. Let us hear. You have something to say. Right. Yeah.
Right. Or at least as a viewer at home, because again, I was a fan before I was a player, at least as a viewer at home, you need to put subtitles on all the whispering so that we know, because you miss, because again, you're seeing all this whispering. And I know there were times this season where people are like, wait, I don't get how that just happened. Like, how did that vote just happen? Yeah. We missed it. And there's something either in that whispering or there was something back at camp that we're missing things. And they try so hard to put together a good narrative. And they typically do. Yes. They put together a narrative that makes sense. And it's not a false narrative. It's not.
Right.
But when all this whispering is going on, you miss. It's like, what the heck? Yeah. Like, come on.
No, I agree. And the people that, you know, we talk with on the podcast and the people that listen to the podcast are like these super duper fans, to quote Adam Klein, of Survivor. These are the people that are watching and this is appointment television. They're paying super close attention and we don't know what happened. What chance did the other 7 million people who were watching the show have?
None, right?
Right.
Like I've had like family members that are like, what just happened? Like, you're going to have to explain this because what's going on? I'm like, I'm right there with you.
I don't know.
I was there and I don't know. Like, I sound so intelligent when I talk about it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So after this tribal council, then you and Kim are going to finally say, look, we love Jeremy, but that's it. You know, we're going to have to now cut bait on Jeremy. Very, very sad, but We're gonna throw our votes in with this big group. Was that a hard decision to come to, or was it something that was a result of him leaving at that tribal council the night before?
I think that helped solidify it because it's kind of this, you know, yes, you understand he's saving his own rear end, but he's one of our number, you know, he's a number.
Yeah.
And so he basically left everybody kind of high and dry, like, hey, man, like, where'd you go? And so I think it just helped solidify that. And that was somebody that we've been thinking about, like, we need to get Jeremy out. We need to get Jeremy out. Again, he's a big target. He's a, you know, individual immunity, like, oh my gosh, like he's a huge threat from a social. He's a huge threat. Yeah. So no, that wasn't, you know, to get in with that group and say, I'm on board with that. Not even a question at that point.
Now, did you have much of a relationship with Michelle? You guys started together at Cele. You're part of that group that's ultimately voting out Ethan together. Did you guys talk much during the post-merge?
Not a ton. It was, again, we'd have joking conversations. And I think I had one conversation with Michelle and Nick. Michelle earlier on, and I think it was before.
She read what you wrote during Survivor Co. Wrong.
Oh, she probably did, right? She said, like, you suck, right? She probably was. Like, I really worried about it. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to hate me. Because I was like, I really thought Aubrey should win. You know, and I know, right? Like, we screw ourselves. The pre-gaming starts.
That's not the case.
I know. But it wasn't. But we talked. But again, Michelle was so fluid. Michelle was more fluid than I was. It was like, wait, is she with Jeremy? I think she was like, Sophie and I had a time when we were sitting on a box, you know, making rice, like playing detective. And I think Sophie talked to you, but
yes,
I think it was
yes,
this.
Yes.
And we sat there and it was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Like, and we were just watching people and watching Michelle go talk over here with Jeremy. And then wait a minute, now Michelle's over talking with Tyson. And so I never, again, it's like, I wanted to get in with maybe Michelle or trust Michelle, but I didn't necessarily know if I could trust her. And then there was like maybe one vote, like she would get left out of the votes. And I'm like, she's never going to trust us again. And then she would vote with us. But then, you know, there's always in the back of my mind going, she is not going to vote with us because we keep screwing her. Mm-hmm. Like we keep her out of a vote or, you know, I never again consistently, I never committed 100% to her and said like, absolutely. Like I clearly, and I think again, like I had listened, it's been fun this week. I get to listen to all your podcasts and like her saying like, yeah, Denise wasn't really, you can kind of tell when Denise is lying. And she's right. Like I think she knew, like when she and Nick were talking about it, on the one hand, I was agreeing with them. I think the three of us could have had the best chance together at the end in terms of stories and against, you know, to the jury. But at that point, I was probably totally blowing smoke saying like, yeah, that sounds like a great plan. Like, again, I am a really crappy liar. Mm-hmm. And you can, I think people can read it in my face or in my tone. And
So you and Kim are going to go and link up with who is the people that you feel like that is now your like that you're hoping to advance with? Do you feel like you have a core group here? If it's you and Kim, is it Sarah and Ben?
Yeah. And at that point, it was starting. I was staying much more connected with Ben and kind of I wasn't feeling solid in yet with Sarah and Tony. That comes after.
Yeah.
One more book. But it was definitely leaning in with Kim and with Ben, and wherever Ben was kind of leaning was where I leaned. I mean, it was, those were the two people that I felt the most comfortable with, and they weren't always on the same page. And votes were going back and forth and people were shifting and
Did you notice anything unusual about Tony now at this point? Where does he, are you noticing Tony having any discomfort with what's going on?
Tony, I think this was the first point that we see that you know, like there was the first blow up with after when Sophie got voted out. You see the blow up with Sarah and Tony, and you start to see Tony speaking up more at tribal council. Like it's like just a faster pace. But again, I'm not stupidly not queuing into, oh my gosh, we've got to like pay more attention to this. Like this is the old Tony. Like at no point.
Yeah,
I think it was like, for me, it wasn't, maybe I talk about like a switch for him, but it was like more this gradual, like gross analogy, but like the frog in the boiling water.
Yeah. That's how it's been described. Yeah.
I hate like, that is like, okay. And it's like, oh crap. We didn't realize we're boiled and we're done by the time he was already ramping up his game, you know? And so no, did I notice anything? No.
So when Sophie gets blindsided at that tribal council, how long did it take to process? Like, is there sort of like, do you guys get back to camp? And so, wait, what happened? Who did this? Who was it? Who was the votes for Sophie again?
Yeah, it was, you know, immediately coming back to camp. You know, it was Sarah blew up like that was like that was
she knew grimy. Right away. It was Tony.
She knew. She's like, that was grimy. You know, tell him. But it was more geared towards her being, you know, upset, obviously, with Tony and telling, meaning tell Ben or like not. I don't think she was saying like tell everybody. It was tell our alliance, like how grimy you are or how this move, you know, how you did this move for yourself. And but it kind of, I mean, it blew up right there. But again, they kind of went off and repaired their stuff. We all sit back and we're like, OK, yeah, what just happened? There was a lot of that. What just happened?
Was anybody mad at Nick?
I don't remember, not directly that I can remember, unless I don't remember.
Yeah.
Do you mean after that vote,
after
Rob?
That vote, because he's part of that group that he's supposed to be one of the people that's voting against Jeremy. And like Jeremy and Michelle, you can't be mad at them. They're going to split the votes at them.
Yeah. And I don't think it was people being mad at Nick, but I think that was another point of wondering, at least for, like, okay, Nick, who is Nick really with?
Yeah.
Is Nick with Tony? Is Nick with Michelle? Is Michelle, you know, who's with who?
Right.
I think that was more, it's not like, hey, I'm pissed off at Nick. It's like, oh, okay. Like, I see.
Okay. So at this point now, Kim is trying to really try to get everybody on. Okay. All right. We got to vote out Tony. This should be clear as day for everybody. Yes. But he somehow is able to win Sarah back. Did you guys ever have like a heart to heart with Sarah about like, hey, Sarah, like how could you get back to Tony? Look what he did. Look what he's capable of.
There was one conversation, and I know, I think, I don't know if Michelle was in that. I think it was at this point that we had one conversation that was kind of the, hey, we feel like they're pitting, like the guys are pitting the girls against each other. And I think that was the only conversation where Tony might have kind of come up in that, like, hey, come on, let's all band together, you know, this. But again, little do we know, it wouldn't have mattered. I don't think it would have mattered what conversation we had. Mm-hmm. Those two were so in lockstep that they'd already repaired it, you know, but I think that I don't know what Tony could have done or would have done that would have lost that loyalty with Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty deep. Like, it's a pretty significant loyalty.
Yeah.
So I don't think we had any chance, but no, like, I didn't have any direct conversations. Kim may have, you know, and trying to pull, because I know they'd had their close alliance for a while, but if anything, it was more the, hey, I think they're trying to pit us against each other. And that was about the extent that it went to.
Yeah.
Sorry. Dog in the background.
Yeah. At this point also, you know, you have a conversation, I think, with Nick and Michelle mm-hmm. about potentially having some sort of a final three. Was that mm-hmm. a real idea for you at all? Or that's just you say yes to everything?
I think it's the same. I think, again, I'm stubborn. This is totally my downfall. I get a one-track mind. Like, I do. I get a one-track mind. So I'm like, no. As the game moved forward, I had the people that I was interested in going to the end with. And
who were they?
I, at that point, you know, I wanted to go to the end with Ben. I would have liked to have gone to the end with Kim before Kim was voted out. Then it's, you know, Sarah and like, that is, was kind of my vision of let's move forward. Let's move forward. And so I think at that point I had entertained it like, oh yeah, like that sounds great. But clearly I was not convincing Michelle. I don't think I was convincing to Nick. I don't think Nick, you know, I think Nick again was playing kind of both sides. Like, he was again trying to stay in with Tony and Ben and Sarah and keep Michelle, you know, in his alliance with Michelle. But no, I think unfortunately I get tunnel vision and
yeah.
Let me go back and play again and I'll do it all different.
No. Is that something that you want or no? No.
No. I'm done.
You're done. You're done.
I'm good. I think turn it over to anybody else who wants to play.
Right. So I know that the game is wearing on you at this. We're getting towards like later on in the game. But like, what is it? Is it the physical toll or is it the mental toll?
100% the mental toll. Yeah. You know, I physically, I do pretty well out there. Like, I feel pretty good out there. I don't know what it is. It's just that, again, that's my wiring. I do pretty well in heat. I can tolerate not eating. And quite honestly, we had plenty of food in my mind. Like, I'm like, hey, more out there, like plenty of rice, plenty of coconut.
Mm-hmm.
So from a physical standpoint, yes, there was fatigue and that's probably wearing on you and you're not sleeping great, but 100% from the mental fatigue and emotional fatigue. Side note, I'm also probably I'm menopausal, which is awesome when you're on an island, you know, so it's like, yeah, so you've got hormones doing whatever they want to do, you know, and the pace of the game just wore me down. Yeah. Like, it literally just wore me down. So 100%, it was the mental, not the physical.
When you played in Survivor Philippines, you were very vocal about you wanted to be around people that you enjoyed their company. That was important to you. Was that something that was a factor for you this time around also?
Yeah, totally. And that's the part of the game where you are who you are, and it's hard. Like, you can want to play a certain way or play a different way, but whoever you are outside of the game, it comes into the game. And just as in real life, you know, I want to hang around with people that I really enjoy their company. And I have a small tribe outside of the game. I have a small tribe and I value that tribe, you know, and I'm very loyal to that tribe. And in the game, it's the same thing. You know, I really enjoy it. Like, I loved my time with Ben. I loved my time with Kim. You know, I loved, you know, as I got to know Sarah more in the game, you know, and Tony, like,
yeah,
that's who I enjoyed spending time with.
Yeah.
Because that's who I engaged with the most.
Yeah, it seems like in this group, especially the people that are like, you know, making it into the merge, it doesn't seem like that there were any really difficult personalities to deal with.
Which makes it so much harder, right? In the Philippines, poor Abby, and she knows I love her. Like, I just had a long conversation with her just recently,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And, but in the game, like in that season, in every tribe you could go, yeah, you could go anytime. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had enough. Like you can go. There was nobody like that this season for me. Maybe I was that person for somebody else, but there was nobody that was like so annoying to me that I didn't want to play with at all. Nobody.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes it a lot harder.
So ultimately, Tony is going to win immunity and everything is going to get screwed up with this plan. And then you guys are going to decide, okay, well then, all right, it finally has to be Jeremy tonight.
Yep.
And so, yeah, and then Tony is going to make another last-ditch effort to save Jeremy and get the votes on to Kim. And this is when we see you have at the tribal council, there's all this whispering, and you tell Jeremy, I'm done. No more talking at tribal council.
And it looks, I hate watching that moment. And
okay. Yeah, and you got a lot of hate at that time because people felt like that, like you had a personal issue with Jeremy.
Yeah, and I don't. Like, so let's just be very clear. I have zero personal issue with Jeremy. Like, mm-hmm. None. And again, we had great conversations about family out there and laughing. And he's a great guy. The emotional toll of the game had maxed me out. And this was, again, it was a combination of things. I think here it was me sitting there realizing, okay, the last person that I really, really feel solid with is probably going to end up going home. Like, they're probably going to end up going home, and she's trying to scramble and we're trying to talk and I'm trying to listen to conversations that are, you know, 'cause all the whispering's going on and I'm trying to pay attention. And then I have Jeremy tapping me and it was like having my daughter mm-hmm. go, Mom, hey Mom. And I was like,
yeah, I get that. Yeah.
You know, like you get it. Like, yeah. Like just get a minute. And then it was like, there was either another tap or he said something. And then I did the finger yeah. And I was like, I'm just done. Mm-hmm. And it was in that moment, you know, and it's, I also want to clarify, yes, I got some hate, but let's keep this in perspective, in the perspective of the heat that other players have taken.
Yes. Yeah.
I got like this much, mm-hmm. like, and for me, that was a lot. Like, I was like, oh, I don't like it. Yeah. It's get that right. Like, I don't like that. So I wanted to crawl in my little hole, but I got just this much heat and I'm fine. But, okay. But with Jeremy, it was just the exhaustion of every single time we come back to the stupid tribal council, the wheels come off and we can't make a plan and stick with it. We have to, you know, have some fireworks go. And it was just exhausting. And on top of that, there had been this whole cat and mouse game going on back at camp. And again, there are players that are really good at strategy and they're really good at kind of playing that poker hand or kind of being sly about things. And so Jeremy would say, so what are you doing? Like, who are you voting? And I knew who I wanted to vote for. So I also didn't want to have conversations with him because I knew I couldn't lie. Mm-hmm. I knew that, okay, well, who am I going to tell him I'm voting for? He knows, like, it's kind of like that. He knows I'm voting for him. He knows I'm going to try. So why would I even try and lie to him? So it's kind of also this, like, I don't want to talk to you. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm just done. And it came off pretty, it didn't probably look so great. Mm-hmm. It was definitely not, you know, meant to offend him, which I think it probably did, but it was not meant to, mm-hmm. But I was just exhausted. And then here's where CBS has been very good to me. I will say, like, you know, everybody worries about their edit.
Yeah.
And they come off, you know, I came home last, you know, when we came home, you know, the first season out, I didn't tell my daughter or my husband anything. Like, I didn't tell them how far I made it. You know, they, like, my husband, like, family visit. And this season was so different. Like, we came home, we stopped at Hooters. We had some chicken wings.
Was that something that you specifically were looking for?
Yeah. Well, because I slept in the air. So on the way home, I'm already exhausted. Sarah and I had this whole debacle in the Denver airport. We miss our flight. She finds a flight. Everybody's flights are delayed. I end up sleeping on the floor in the airport. Mm-hmm. I just think that sounds like a fun adventure. Get home. I have to fly into a different airport in a different town. And there happens to be a Hooters in that town. We don't have a Hooters here. And I love Hooters wings.
Yeah.
I love them. They're the best. And I get them like once a year. And so I was like, we're going to Hooters. I'm going to have some beer and some wings. And I, to my husband and daughter, like, here's everything. Like, here's,
oh,
here's
God,
the
I see you saying that you threw up. Yeah.
No. Oh, no. Would not do that to Hooters wings. No. So,
yeah.
But, and so what I told them was, I need you two to be prepared. Like, when this all plays out, mm-hmm. there's a possibility that I'm going to look like I lose my shit on national TV. Mm-hmm. Because what CBS didn't show was, you know, you come back after tribal council, it's late. And again, I've already been exhausted. Here's the vote. I've already had Jeremy say, you know, you're only safe for this week. And I get back and I'm just like, I've just lost, you know, Kim's gone, standing out there. We're waiting to walk into tribal council. And I'm looking, you know, you're looking up at the Fijian sky and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this is just exhausting. And go up into camp and, you know, you have to walk back up and, you know, yeah. production and put your torches up. And poor Tony, I think this was the same tribal council that Jeff might've commented on it being like family therapy.
Yes.
And it's like family therapy. And so Tony, poor Tony just says something offhanded like, yo, Denise, are you going to like do family therapy for us all now? You know? Yeah. Sorry about the accent. I cannot imitate them, but so he says something very, you know, like funny commenting about the tribal council, but I have been, you know, waiting to walk in and I'm like probably hormonal mm-hmm. and I'm having like this, I can feel this like mad cry coming up.
Yes.
And all he did, Rob, was touch my shoulder. Mm-hmm. Like he's just like, yo, Denise. And I'm like, don't fucking touch me. Excuse my like yeah. don't touch me. And I went off. Like, so Jeremy and Michelle are gone. I don't even know who else at camp at that point, but I'm like going off like this insane woman saying like, I can't believe you guys, and we can't even go to tribal council and just make a plan. And you guys are all such good liars. And I'm so glad I can't lie like you guys. I'm not like mm-hmm. losing my mind and crying. Like I'm like yeah. falling apart. It's just like, not cool. Like not cool.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, like totally irrational. Like looking back now, I'm like, what in the world, woman, you lost your mind. Like mm-hmm. you lost your mind on the island. Like for what reason? Like no reason. And I think I was just emotionally, I was just exhausted yeah. and I was just like tired. It wasn't about like, I want to go home, but that was the night very much so where I was like, Ben, I have Ben sitting here. And so Ben and Sarah were like, hey, and we're all kind of crying and talking together and talking about how hard the game is. And at that point I'm like, I've got no game. Like, I don't know. Tell me who you want me to vote for. I'll vote for him. Like, just do whatever you want to do. Like, I.
Yeah.
Do. And it was the next morning where they're like, hey, okay. Like Tony and Ben and Sarah and I had a conversation at the well. And they're like, we want, like, you will be our fourth. I'm like, all right. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, but it was a hot mess. It was a hot mess.
So going through that night that you had, was that the next day when you got to endure and let go?
It is. Yep. It was that night laying, because you have nothing to do but think, you know, you're laying in the shelter and there's nothing else to do, but yes. just lay there. And that night, I know people were still up and I'm like, lady, you just got to go to sleep. Like this is like when your kids, and I'm sure you've had this, like when you know your kids are just exhausted, and they don't know what
yes.
to do with
it. Yeah, so I have this, it's like around 9:30 every night in my house.
Yes. And you're like, you just need to go to bed. Yeah. And they're either inconsolable or they don't. And I was telling them, like, this is like telling Sydney, you just need to go to bed. Like, I'm like, just go to bed. So I laid down in the shelter, just pulled my buff over my face and laid there. And that was, and I was just kept thinking like, okay, why are you here? I'm like, you're here because you want to be, you know, you want to be here and you're going to do your best to play the game, but it's okay to not have to be as strategic. Like, it's okay that you're not as strategic as everybody else. And it's okay if you play a different type of game. And yeah, like you were born to do tough things. So I was kind of having this whole pep talk for myself, you know, as I laid there. And that was in the morning. And I don't know why it was, but I was like, you know, looking at my wrist, like I do, like I need these tattoos that say like, you know, you were born to do difficult things and you can, like you've survived, you know, 39 days on the island before, you've survived rain, you know, you've survive childbirth, you know, whatever it is, like you can endure, but it's also okay to know when you've kind of had enough, and not had enough in the way of quitting the game, but that, you know what, like I've gotten my fill and I'm going to ride this out to the best of my ability, but then I'm going to be happy with it, like endure and let go. And so it was. And so that was that conversation that I had in the interview the next day. And no joke, within, yeah. I was home 2 days I think it was within that week that I got the tattoos when I got home.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a very powerful message. I know that I certainly struggle with the let go part of it. I feel like I endure a lot. I feel like I do not do a great job of the letting go.
It's hard, isn't it? This season, I think all of us are having a harder time with that letting go part for a variety of reasons. You know, we let go, you know, it's, and not to get too like therapeutic, but it's, you know, it's Please. No different than, you know, it's no different than talking with my clients in the office. You know, we talk about forgiveness and I'm like, yeah, forget, you know, forgiveness, schmiveness. No, it's, but about letting go, you know, it's hard because you're having to deal with, you know, what your own kind of narrative, like, what am I letting go of? I'm letting go of, okay, it's okay for not everyone to like me, mm-hmm. you know, it's okay, you know, and because that's my thing. I'm a pleaser. So it's like, okay, it's okay. If not everybody likes me, it's okay. I've done my best. You know, for a lot of people out there, it might be, it's letting go of, I didn't win. You know, it's okay to not be a failure, but it's okay to lose. Egos, you know, you're struggling with that. And I think a lot of the letting go in our real life is hard because other people just don't acknowledge their part in things. Like, it's kind of like for me, like it's, like you have a fight with your spouse, let's say, you know, you and Nicole never have fights, right?
No.
Like
no.
When people like Goofy Gal, you know, bring up your iPad and, you know, you never have disagreements, you know, but it's so much easier to let go when you can have a conversation with somebody who acknowledges, hey, I'm sorry you felt that way. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, you know what, here's my part in this. And, you know, I've been able to try and do, you know, I do that with clients. I do that in my real life. And that's a part of the game. It's like, you know what, I'm going to let go of, you know, some, part of it's letting go of, I'm never going to be able to have some of those conversations with people.
Yeah.
You know, or like with Jeremy, like I've reached out to Jeremy, like, hey, I'm really sorry. Here's, you know, like, here's where it was, you know, take it for what it was, like that moment. You know, if I offended you, it wasn't meant to offend you, but I didn't yeah. mean to disrespect you. And whether or not I ever hear back from him about that.
Yeah.
But now I have to kind of not, that sounds bad. Like, yeah. But it's that you have to let that go. Yeah. And I think anything, it's hard for people to let go of stuff.
Do you feel like that if you guys would have had a proper reunion to close out this, you know, that, because I feel like that's sort of like the natural order of Survivor, of you go, you play, you have this experience, you come home, you watch it on TV, and then everybody is back in one place. And whether you get a question from Jeff or not, at least you're all back in the same room one more time again.
Absolutely. You have the opportunity, right? It's yeah. it's just having that opportunity for, whether or not it's closure, yeah, to speak your piece.
Yeah.
I think feeling heard by somebody in whatever way is so significant. And that's where, you know, again, reaching out to different players. You know, I remember after my first season, you know, with Abby, like reaching out to Abby, like, hey, I'm so sorry. And so we made our peace yeah. before the finale, but even just doing that, having those conversations, and we didn't get that. I mean, it was bizarre. It was like the 30 seconds of us all waving. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Yeah. But I will say that, like, it is different when you're all in the room together and it's yeah. like, oh, yeah, I remember when this happened. And like, there is like a healing part of it that does come from all there getting is. Back together.
Well, and there is, because it's the group, right? There's yeah. something in that energy. Like you said, being in that room, and there's something in the energy. There's even a part of that at Ponderosa when you get out of the
yes.
game,
yes.
you know, and it doesn't always, you know, and that can be kind of rough, but there can be some healing. Like, again, so I got a little bit of that. Like, I got to have some conversations with Nick.
Yeah.
I didn't ever have a conversation with Jeremy, but whether or not he remembers it or not, I remember running around Ponderosa and literally just doing laps.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I did. I just ran.
Yeah.
And he was getting his nails done by one of the ladies. And I just ran up and I think I gave him a kiss on the cheek and kept running. I'm just like, hey, it's all good, you know? And
right.
So you're trying to find that. So you get this pocket of it, but there's still, the game's still going on.
Yeah.
At Rosa. And so, yeah, we didn't get that opportunity.
So just one other thing on Endure and Let Go, the tattoo. I don't know if you know about this, but Mike Bloom, who podcasts with us, that he is going to be getting a Survivor tattoo inspired by your endure and let go tattoos on the show, where that we had raised a lot of money for for the charity directrelief.org, which was raised money for PPE for people on the front lines of coronavirus. And at the end of the season, he had said, well, if we could get the GoFundMe that we had started to, I believe it was over $23,000 at that point, to that he would get a survivor tattoo, Denise. And so that was the inspiration for him, and he will be getting a survivor tattoo sometime this summer.
Okay, that's awesome. I love that. I think I had heard that. I wasn't sure what he was getting yet. I think I heard some ideas of
what it's a whole thing where we're going to have a whole survivor season simulated of all of the tattoo ideas, and then that one of them will win, and that will be the tattoo that goes on his body forever.
So that's great. So little did I know that this would have impact in other ways.
Yes, you've changed
know
the
that.
World.
Like those, I've changed the world with my tattoos. Well, I never thought I would get tattoos ever.
Everywhere that he goes for the rest of his life, then, oh, what does that mean? Well, actually,
Here's the story. Here's where it comes from. I've created my own legacy with my tattoos.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So endure and let go is a thing. You talk about that. Ultimately, we see that we're going to have Jeremy is finally going to get voted out. But in the second hour of that next to last episode, you end up coming to seemingly a decision where you feel like you're good. You are ready to seemingly let go. And by the rest, and I think that this is something that there's a little bit of confusion about how was this a ruse? Were you tricking Nick to not play his idol, or were you comfortable with letting go? And other people said, "Well, we're not ready to let you go."
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I'll explain that. So yes. Was I done? Yes. So it's, and this is the hardest part of this to explain. This is, I think, one of the most difficult things. And it was, and I hope, and I got to have a conversation with Nick later about this, and I think he understands, or maybe he'll listen to this and it'll clear, or maybe it'll make it muddier.
Yeah.
All of that was true. All of that's true.
Yeah.
At that point, we had the person that we would hope was going to go, whether or not it was Michelle at that point, and then Michelle wins immunity and it's this, or, and so at that point I had been pulled in with Tony and Sarah and Ben, and they'd said, yep. And, Nick's, we don't trust that Nick's in there. So Nick was going to be that next target at that point. And the reality was I was still exhausted. So was I done? Yes. Was I quit done? No. There's no quit in Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I will not quit. No, there's no quit in that. But I was emotionally still done. And it was at the point where, I go in. And so even though I'd been pulled in with Sarah and Ben and Tony, I've never once, again, without the necklace around my neck, gone into tribal council feeling secure. And so you have to go in with a plan. And all of us go in playing a bit of a ruse. Right?
Yeah.
You're putting up, you're amplifying certain things, whether or not you're telling a complete lie, I don't know, but you're amplifying things. And so did I amplify that? Yes. And I had amplified that back at camp in the way of saying, yeah, I really am. And I'd had those conversations with Ben and Sarah and Tony. And said, no, really. If you guys vote me out, I had told them this, if you vote me out, I'm okay. I'm really good. I can let go. I've played the game I needed. And if I go home, I go home. I don't want to go home, but if I go home, I will be okay. My ego is not going to be crushed on the floor. I'm not going to feel there's something left undone. So that part was really true, but I also wanted to help solidify that. And again, Nick was still going back and forth. It's like, is he with Michelle? Is he with them? Where's he going to be? And it was essentially, how do I play my part so that he's comfortable enough that he thinks he's still in with those guys? And so we did. So it was, hey, if I'm going to go to the edge, I would like to go with the full belly. And so let's buy some rice. And was that a lie? No, because if I was going to go to the edge, I wanted to have rice in my belly. And I didn't know for sure. But I think what was frustrating was, I think Nick, and come to find out, I was, again, just texting Nick last night because it's his birthday.
Oh, and, happy birthday, Nick. You know, give him some Chinese food.
Exactly. Well, and I didn't realize I'm 20 years older than Nick.
Yeah.
20, like, you think of that. I'm 20. Wait,
is today your birthday?
Well, not quite 20 years. Okay. So, but basically, mine's January 1st, so I'll be 50.
Okay.
So I'm almost, like, just shy of 20 years older than him. Yes. So I'm literally old enough to be his mom, like old enough. And, you know, we all carry our own baggage into the game. And, you know, I think Nick seeing me upset, you know, seeing me upset and cry before, he didn't feel comfortable in probably asking me or challenging me about what my plan was, or he thought for sure, like he saw that as Denise is weak and she's done and she's going to go. And so he never clarified. He never pushed his own perceived alliance to make sure that he was safe. Mm-hmm. He never was like, are you guys sure? Like, he just trusted that he was safe. And I think that's part of what got him so frustrated was he got voted out. He had trusted, but hadn't verified. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like trust and verify. And I was basically trying to trust and trying to verify, like, I want to make sure that I'm still here. And so I don't know if that explains it, but it was both. It was all of that. It was, I'm exhausted. Yeah. I'm tired. When my moment comes, I'm going to be fine.
Yes.
But I'm not quitting.
Yeah. When I spoke with Ethan, he talked about how when Nick got to the edge of extinction, he felt he was really hot, that he felt like that you really had, you know, this was a dirty trick to, you know, to go through this whole ruse that, you know, you didn't have to do. It definitely makes sense.
Like, it's just amplified, you know. And I remember in Philippines, there was a similar, which is, it's like, that's weird how history repeats itself. You know, Russ, in that last tribal council before Russell gets voted off.
Yeah.
You know, it had, and Malcolm, I think Malcolm's talked to you or somebody about that. You know, there was a horrible storm before we got to tribal council. And
yes, it was with me. Malcolm told a great story about you guys were almost capped or were capsized.
Yeah. It was absolutely terrifying. I remember being in the boat going, oh my God, I'm never going, like, I could almost get teary now. I'm not going, but like, I'm not going to see my kid again. Like, I'm never getting home. I'm going to die in the middle of the ocean, because it was just terrifying. And I remember getting to tribal council, and again, it was the, I'm done. I'm not getting on that boat. I'm not getting on that boat. Vote me out. And I remember looking at Malcolm going, vote me out. I'm done. I'm out. And, you know, luck of the draw, he said, like, we had the second, he kind of calmed me a little bit. And so I was able to get, you know, go to tribal council and kind of flip that switch and like, okay, like, take that breath. Like, you're here, you're not going home. So stick it out. And Russ had a really hard time with that because he felt like this was all of like, what the hell? You faked it. Like, you were, it's like, no. That was, I think, my first ever panic attack. Like, I'm pretty sure it was a full on like panic attack. Like, I remember going to the tent with Dr. Joe and him saying, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I think I'm having a panic attack. And he said, okay, we'll talk about that after tribal. And he sent me out, and I'm like, oh, you got to just pull your shit together. And so I think it's sometimes hard for people to see that flip side and not see that as, or maybe feel that as disingenuous.
Yeah.
But it was same with Russ, same with Nick. But yeah, with Nick, I can understand how he felt like some, that it somehow maybe played on his, I don't know, his emotions. But yeah, I didn't know I was going to do it.
Do you feel like the way that you ultimately felt at this vote, where it's like, hey, if you guys do what you have to do, was this basically, did you sort of like incept this idea into Ben where two votes later, he's going to pretty much come to the same conclusion of, hey, Sarah, you know, I'm good. You do what you need to do if that's in your plan.
Like, do I think that I influenced him doing that?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I think that I'd have to ask Ben. I don't think that has never been something that he and I have talked about in that way.
I'm not trying to say that you told him to do it, but I'm just saying that you guys are close friends, and that was the conclusion that you came to. Maybe he's like, hey, maybe Denise is onto something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if anything, it would have been back in his subconscious of this. I think that was just who Ben was. Yeah. Like, Ben, I think, was kind of reading kind of how the jury was. I think he, you know, he came out there knowing the kind of game that he wanted to play, and he wanted to stay loyal to his three, and especially those, or those two. And if he couldn't win, you know, it was, I want to make sure that somebody that I care about can and does. And I think he did, you know, and that's really hard for other Survivor players to accept as truth.
Mm-hmm.
But because they want to say like, well, wait, why would you like, basically, why would you be a decent person in the game? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because you're a decent person.
Yeah. Well, I think that what's hard for other survivors, or us mere mortals who haven't won the game, that I think that a lot of us are defined by that, oh, well, that, you know, we haven't proved our worth. And I think that it's probably an interesting experience to have already accomplished the number one thing to do in the game, which is win, and then to be back for a second time, and then... You know, once you've already checked off the, okay, I've won, I guess it's cool to win a second time, but I would think that sometimes maybe as human beings, we have other things that we're looking to, that might be more of a motivator for us.
Right. And that's it, 100%. It's what else do you, like, I went in the first time playing thinking, okay, like, did I really genuinely think that I was going to win Survivor the first time? Absolutely not. Like, you go in, you know, hey, I'm going to stay in the game as long as I can. But I even went in the very first time that I played thinking, what else do I want to take out of this? I want to take out an experience, or I want to take out a relationship, or I want to challenge myself. I went into season 40 no different. You know, it was, oh my gosh, it would be amazing to win again. Like, who wouldn't want another $1 million? That's all we thought it was going to be at the time. $1 million? Heck yeah. But the likelihood of that, you know, the odds of that are, you know, 1 in 40, like, it's not likely, you know, only one of us is walking home.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing there are things in my life, you know, and for a lot of us out there that are, and I think Ben's one of them, family is extremely important for him. His kids, he is an amazing dad. Like, I love, like, hearing about the opportunity that he has to be home with his kids. You know, he loves Kelly to death, you know, and what he's done, or, you know,
sweet Kelly.
Sarah. Yeah. Kelly. Right. Like, you know, like, so there are those other things that are more important than kind of losing your soul in the game. It's kind of like, yeah, like, you know what? That's the let go. It's the, my ego does not need that.
Yeah.
It's filled by other things.
When you went to the tribal council after Natalie comes back into the game, there's four of you, there's Michelle and Natalie, they're working together. Ultimately, yep. Michelle's going to win the immunity. Did you think Natalie had the idol?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we thought 100%. I thought there is no way. And now looking back, production had to be laughing their asses off in interviews. Like, cause we're all I'm sure I was not the only one saying, there's no way they're going to let somebody in season 40, not only come back from the edge, but come back to from the edge with an idol that's active for that first tribal council. Like, nope. Stupidly, I should think this is Survivor. Anything can happen. Why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah.
So no. So none of us thought she, or at least Sarah. Well, Tony did.
Tony.
But Sarah didn't.
Ben did.
Ben
did. Yeah.
And I. Yeah. We thought, nope. There's no way.
You came very close to having to make a fire against Sarah. Would you have been up for that, or would you have? And do you feel like that you had a good shot to make the fire?
I don't know. I'd never made fire on the island.
Yeah.
So. I'd made fire in my garage.
Yes.
Literally. That is where I've made fire, is in my garage, in the wheelbarrow, or on the floor in the old camping things before I went out. So I'd practiced it, but, you know, practicing it and doing it in your garage is one thing versus being under pressure in front of people with wind. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think we both would have, you know, clearly I would have given it the best effort I could. Like, do I think I would have bombed miserably at it? I don't think so. I think I would have gotten something started. Who knows? But I would have loved to have had that opportunity.
Yeah. Would have been interesting because one, you know, even if Sarah wins, I wonder if that like is practice where Sarah has already made fire on the big stage when it comes. It was so close against Tony. I wonder if that ultimately could have changed up that she might have beat Tony in the final fire making.
It was amazing. And that was amazing to watch. It was so close. Like, and it was just like, oh, like you could feel the tension with all of us. Like, oh my gosh, like it's close. It's not close. It's close. It's not close. Yeah. It was good.
So when you got to Ponderosa, I watched your Ponderosa video, and you came back, and you seemed like you were surprised that you felt like that you got kind of like a frosty reception at Ponderosa, where it seemed like the people that went to the edge were welcomed, and then you felt like that, like, hey, I'm one of you guys, but people were, you know, I know Nick, but who else is upset with you?
Frosty's a nice way to put it. Frosty is a really nice way to put it. Never having been, so having only played once, you also have to remember, I don't know what it's like to be voted off. Mm-hmm. So I don't know
that's
what
so
the
cute.
Response
yeah.
is. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, like, I don't know how people are supposed to be or so you have the way. So I think of how, and it's easy. That's where you get into that tunnel vision. I think like, well, how would I be? Like, well, whoever it is, I'm going to be like, hey, welcome. Come on in. Like, hey, it sucks. We're all losers now.
Yeah.
So like, I'm just the next to last loser. That's all it is. It's, you know, I'm, you know, we're all losing. So I think I was, expecting. And the initial response was, you know, like initially a few of them came up and, you know, you get kind of that welcome reception, but then it was just like the inquisition and it was questions just started coming. And I clearly did not handle it as well as I would have liked to, but it was, I think Adam might have opened it. I think he might have been one of the first ones that was like, hey, so tell us the truth about you and Sarah. Nobody believed.
Right.
Like, nobody believed. I think they still don't believe. I think they still don't believe that Sarah and I.
Well, you are a well-known notorious liar, Denise.
Right.
Well-known for being able to keep big secrets and lies.
Right. So why wouldn't I keep this lie about this? You know, it's like, and at that point, it would have served no purpose to go up a lie at Ponderosa. But so I had to explain again, like, no, like, here's the only time that I've seen Sarah. And no. And then I think it was Rob started in. Like, and they don't show, obviously, they don't show all this. Then Rob, like, so who is really running it? Was it, you know, was it Tony or was it Sarah? Well, I was talking about Sarah and her game. And then we get into the gender thing. And it was just like, I'm like, oh my God, so I was having not only to defend my game, but it was like I was having to defend their game. And they're like, we don't get it. Like, why? Like, basically, like, why would you guys like that? They could not understand why this threesome or this foursome would be so loyal to each other. Like, why would you do that? And I'm like, it just is that. And I don't know at what point, but, you know, you have, you know, you're still, I didn't realize I was still mic'd up at that point. And, at one point, I think it was Wendell. And again, these are the like where there's been closure. Like I've gotten to reach out to Wendell and talk to Wendell. And Wendell, you know, he's someone who wants to figure it out. He wants to understand, you know, he was sitting down at the very end and Nick was there. And then Jeremy was silent. Jeremy didn't say a word, like not a hello, not a hi, nothing. So I'm like, so it was Frosty. Yeah. I think Kim had been pretty friendly when I came in, Parvati, Sophie, but Wendell was down at the end and he just, I think, piped up and said, like, I can't remember the exact wording, but I think, were you even out here to win? And and again, really mature response, you know, mature therapist response. I'm like, what kind of an asshole question is that? Like, of course, like I was out here to play and then I just kind of, and so then it got even frostier because then I'm going off on Nick, like, and Nick and you, and here's what I heard. You're talking about me just, like that I just sit on my rock all day and like, you know what? It's your fault. You didn't ever verify. It's not my fault. You know, you can be mad about this vote, but it's not my fault that you didn't get up and verify that you were solid with your alliance. That's on you. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a very heated, tense. Yeah, it wasn't fun. was not fun, but it's funny. But then it's also, it's like, okay, I'm going to take my Corona. I'm going to take my Corona of all things that I wanted.
Yes.
Take my Corona. Go to bed, wake up, and the next day's a new day. And I think people had kind of settled a little bit. You know, I talked to Wendell, I talked to Nick, but tensions were just high. Yeah. I think that's tension. I don't blame anybody. It was just.
Eventually your buddy Ben is going to be there with his hand.
Yes.
Ben was- yeah. You guys had some nice scenes. Yeah. On the Ponderosa video. If it had worked out where Tony and Sarah were both in the end, have you given thought to who you would have voted for?
Yeah. This is that loyal. So here's that. Okay. It's the game versus loyalty versus what you want to do.
Yeah.
Honestly, at that point, I think I still, as much as I would feel this loyalty, like I have to go Iowa, like I probably would have voted for Tony.
Okay.
I don't, it would have been really hard. It honestly, it's not as cut and dried for me.
Yeah.
It's definite, but Tony, just knowing all of the things that Tony had done, you know, the fact that I had no idea he was up in the tree.
Yeah, spy nest.
I didn't know that until I watched that episode.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, you were up in the tree the whole time. So I'm texting like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. So I think he, for me, voting for Tony at the end, it kind of like rounded out this whole crazy, like it brought it back to a closure for me. Yeah. Like he epitomizes Survivor for me. Like he is wired. He's just enough crazy with just enough caring and cunning. Like he earned it. Like he's that little package that, but Sarah would have been just as, you know, it, again, would have been hard. Yeah. But
how often do you refer to yourself as Mama D in real life?
I want to crawl. Not, oh, it's horrible to hear that. Like, and I'm so embarrassed. I love the nickname. It was not a nickname I gave to myself. So yeah. Just clear, like, it's a habit I think I fell into that I need to break.
Did
because
somebody on the island give you Mama D? Or, yes.
Ben did. Ben.
Okay.
So it was no different than Malcolm in the first season calling me Jungle Mama.
Yeah.
So no, I did not nickname myself Mama D. That would be very
But you went weird. Third person very often with it.
I did. And why? Why? Branding. Brand what?
You need a t-shirt. Mama D.
I'm not making any t-shirts. I'm not making any money off the name brand, the branding of Mama D. But I think it was just, I think I probably went with it because it was a positive thing out of the game.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. It's like, it's a representation of the friendship that I have with Ben.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, here's somebody who's not calling me, hey, asshat. It's like, yeah. Hey, Mama D, like, hey, good morning. You know, and it's a term of endearment. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately I've used it third person
too much,
way too many times. Like it's embarrassing.
Yeah. You don't do it anymore.
I'm trying not to, I'm very much trying to, other than in some posts that I think I've tagged you in on Facebook, like, hey, this one's for you, Rob Sesternino.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Out.
Yes.
You know, I'm trying to break myself of that habit because it's weird. Yeah. It's a little weird.
Denise, is there anything else about Survivor 40 that you wanted to talk about? This was so wonderful to get to go through because you are a very giving interviewee. So this was incredible for me.
Well, I don't hold back. That's whether or not like it's been great. I think this was such a hard season for all of us.
Yeah.
Hard, humbling, like humbling, and to be out there to be playing with, you know, and this is just a handful of all of the great players, you know, you being one of them, you know, whether or not you think like, you know, we've all had our experience in the game. Mm-hmm. And people play it in all different ways. And it's humbling to be out there and go, wow, to be a part of that and to have every ounce of yourself kind of challenged in that. So this is kind of a nice little, like, to get to round it out. This is, I'm just going to tell you, this is the only podcast I'm doing.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
I just kind of let it go. So
let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was really glad that you were up for doing it because I had been wondering if maybe that you were just sort of like, okay, I had my experience and then that's it. And I'm ready to, you know, move on with the rest of my life.
I was. And then when I first, again, 100% transparency. And when I first saw you, I'm like, okay, let the message sit there for a minute before I even read it.
No,
I'm
I get that.
Because I wanted to know, like, I didn't want to say yes. unless I really was ready to say yes. Mm-hmm. And part of the endure and let go is how do you want to finish that out, right? Yeah. And I could just say, I'm done with it. And then I think there would always be this little piece like, but what if you just talked about it? Or what if you just worked that through with, you know, it's like a little therapy session with Rob, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, so it's, I think it's a part of rounding out the experiences. Yeah. Hey, my last season, I got to finish off with you, and this season I get to finish off with you. Yeah. So.
Well, I really appreciate you enduring through all this, and you do get to let go and hang up, and then and that's it. And you're never obliged to, you know, answer one of these requests ever again. So, but Denise, I really mean it that you are really one of the best at being able to talk through all of this stuff, even though if you don't feel like the strategy part of it is your strong suit, that it's you are able to talk about the game in a lot of ways that other people aren't. So that is very, very fun to get to whenever we have the opportunity to talk about stuff like this.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rob. You know, I appreciate you. So yeah. Thank you very much. My dog and I are going to pack it up and head home.
Okay. All right. Anything else coming up that you want to tell anybody who's listening? I'm sure that the listeners also greatly appreciate it, that, you know, you're also very soothing to listen to. And I'm sure many, many people appreciated that as well.
But hopefully my voice isn't like a grating. That would be really bad.
No.
Right? No. Like to not be able to like bring some calm. No, life is just normal here. So I'm, you know, still popping on Twitter every now and then. My Facebook, not as much. My Instagram's still private. Mm-hmm. But I'm just doing my thing here. I'm back working and hanging out with my 16-year-old and my hubby at home and trying to get through quarantine, right? Because there's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to do. So,
yeah.
So no, nothing else coming up. Again, just hanging out. So thank you.
All right. Well, Denise, thank you so much. Okay. This was wonderful.
You got it. Tell Nicole hi for me.
I will. All right, everybody, there you have it. Fantastic interview with Denise Stapley. Very, very fun to get to catch up with Denise. Hope you guys enjoyed that one as much as I did. And we've still got a lot to do here on Rob Has a Podcast. We will be back over the weekend. Rob and Akiva need a podcast coming your way. Season 3, Episode 7 of ALF is going to be what came up in the fishbowl. So excited to talk about ALF from season 3, episode 7 of ALF from the fishbowl. Working on a real big get for the Survivor season 40 interviews as well coming your way. And then Josh Wiggler and I will be back for the Wiggle Room on Monday to talk about everything that's going on in episode 3 of our summer-long season rewatch through time. We're going to go back to Marquesas, where really Boston Rob got started, and Hunter gets voted out from Survivor Marquesas in episode 3 of Survivor Marquesas, which has been very fun to do. If you missed our season 2 rewatch from earlier this week, very fun to go back to Survivor Australia. Of course, all of this is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Find out more about everything that we're doing. Get access to our patron-only podcast feed over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.